Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody, we're here live tonight, and good to be with you. It is a night for the Blood of the Doorpost. I hope you have your communion with you and ready, and we're going to be doing all that tonight, so get ready, all right? Yeah, all right, let's see here. All right. All right, I got it. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we are on PGN tonight. We're not on Zoom, but we are on video. If you want to watch the video, you can go to the website. If you don't have the website, let me know. I'll get it to you. You click on the camera icon up above, right-hand side, and you'll be able to get on it. All right, that's really cool. All right, welcome everybody. We're here and it's Thursday night and glad to be here with you. Glad I'm alive, glad I'm well, glad I'm not in Israel right now. Aren't you? It would be kind of like tough. Wow. Drink your water. All right, so tonight we're here. If you can't hear me okay. And, all right. We're doing the Blood of the Doorpost tonight, so get ready for that. There it is right there. We'll be doing that live tonight. And we're going to be doing all kinds of things tonight, so get ready for that. All right, hang on a second. Actually, one more thing I've got to do. All right. So we are on here. Let me check one last thing here to make sure I know what we're doing. On the MacBook. Okay, hopefully you'll be able to hear all this tonight. Pretty good. All right. So let me know if something goes on that I don't know about. Give me a holler. And we will try to fix it the best we can. All right? All right, we're here tonight to pray for you and believe God for you tonight and whatever you need. And we're going to be doing communion tonight, so don't forget your communion. We're going to be doing the Blood of the Doorpost, of course. And it's going to be really nice. So get ready for that. All right. So there you go. Next. All right, so there's no Zoom tonight. We are doing video. We found a way to do video without Zoom. Zoom got a little bit complicated for me for at this point, so we have kind of like gone around that for right now. And so that's what's up with that. Just a moment here. And we'll figure this out. Okay. I think I haven't gotten into the show yet. On the screen, so give me a second here. Yeah, there I am. All right, I am on, and we are on video tonight. All you get is another website. There's no Zoom. We're not doing Zoom. We figured out a way to do it without Zoom for now until I get used to it. I'm having trouble with getting it all going, and so I think we found maybe a better way for now. So thank God for that. All right, we are on video, and we are all you get is go to the website. You don't have to click on the Zoom, none of that kind of thing. And if you have trouble hearing me, let me know so I can talk a little louder, a little better. All right, we're doing good. So praise God. Go to the website, Randy Chandler, now on RandyChandler.com. TGN-endtime, E-N-D-T-I-M-E, dot site, S-I-T-E. Real simple, kind of like that. I'm kind of watching news of it, too. TGN-endtime, dot site, S-I-T-E. You can go there and click on the icon of the camera up in the right-hand corner, and you'll be able to get the live feed that we're on. So we'll do the Blood of the Real Folks later. You don't have to go through Zoom tonight. We worked out a way to do it in a different way, so we're very excited about that. Thank God. We're doing good. All right. Okay, so there we are. All right, one of the things I want to talk about tonight is how things kind of got sped up. You know, the cup of iniquity, we talked about one night about the cup of iniquity, how that it is full, was full, is full, not was full a long time ago, and now we're finding that the cup of iniquity is full. And so there is some reasons that happened, actually. And so we are wanting to open up to share that with you a little bit tonight, some of the things that I kind of have been looking at and want to share with you that I think are important. And kind of a quick little thing, and then we're going to do the little bit more close. It is 911 right now. No, it's 912 now. We just missed 911. All right, I think there's a 911 on, in case you guys don't know about that. We are under emergency, global emergency alert system, whatever that is, right? And everybody's kind of wondering what the heck that is. But anyway, so you don't have to go on Zoom tonight, y'all. I figured out a different way. And you know, Glenn helped me out on that, and we kind of got it together on that, and so it's working much better without all this stuff. And so it is happening, and hopefully the live shot will be pretty good. If you want to send in your offerings, you can do that. All you do is just there's different ways that you do that. You come in through PayPal, number one. You can also come in through what we call the Cash App. Come to the Cash App, and the phone number I'm going to give you here in just a moment. You also get into Zelle, which is the banking system, if you want to go to the bank and put some cash that way or whatever. and also Venmo. And the number you need for all that is actually 214-505-8719. 214-505-8719. Okay? So yeah, get a hold of that. And be all good. Guarantee it. Okay, so we are getting the video thing going on little by little. You can see I'm working on it. That picture's not bad. We're working on several different things. So get ready for all that to begin to happen and get our lighting set up and all that. I think it'd be a whole lot better. But all right, so we have Cash App you want to give tonight, PayPal. You have PayPal link, I can send it to you. We can get that to you pretty quickly. And also Zelle through the banking system, and then Venmo. All right? So you get into those accounts, except for PayPal, you get into those accounts through the phone number, 214-505-8719, and just get right in there, and you got it. All right? Yeah. Pretty good. So if you want to give tonight, you can do that. And we're going to pray over your offerings tonight. And we're going to believe God. We're going to believe God for you to be touched and be ministered to you by the Holy Spirit. I just thought I'm going to change phones. I'll be right back. That's coming through the... All right. Can you hear me okay? If you can't hear me as well, let me know. Please give me a holler and let me know for sure what's going on with that. Okay, thank you so much. Thanks for everybody giving. Thank you for your time. Thanks for PGN. Thanks for being a part of this wealth transfer situation that's on its way. We're believing God for, you know, some amazing things to happen, and they're in the process. That's all I can tell you right now. They're in the process, and it's really, really cool what's happening with all of it. So get ready. I bought some more today. I bought some more for me, and I bought a little bit for me, and more for PGN, for the family. So I'm taking care of God's business, literally, and it's really a blast. So I'm really grateful for that. All right, we're going to get it all together. We're working on the studio. If you knew what all went in on doing this, you'd be really happy with me, I think. So welcome to PGN, the place where we do it more than talk about it. We have been making transactions of gold and silver the last few days, since October the 4th. We finalized one, and then we made another one today. So it's really, really all good. Excuse me while I blow my nose. Hang on a second here. Yeah, ever since I started cleansing my, working on my brain, I just have kind of a, not a cold, but I have a drainage. Somebody said they thought it was cleaning my brain out. I like that idea. That's pretty cool. I like that pretty good. Yeah, I'll take that. Drain the brain. Like Trump said, drain the swamp. Is that what he said? Drain the swamp. Okay. Hey, we're going to drain the swamp, right? We're going to get it looking good and get everything looking good. Try to get me looking better. By the grace of God, that'll be a miracle. Really, really awesome. Thank you for giving tonight. Thanks for everything you're doing for PGN. We are on the road, y'all. I'm so relieved. I just have to tell you, you know, I know I've talked about this already, but
I talk about things because I've got you guys to talk to, really. That's it. So I'm so relieved that the wealth transfer thing is now sealed before the market crashes. It's all done now and more. And so we, God bless us to be able to take care of that. And it was pretty cool. It was really awesome how that, it worked out in the long run. So really, really, really nice. And I'm very, very grateful to God for all of it. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm really and relieved. Like I think I'm going to take a vacation now. You know, when Noah did his 40-day thing, I can kind of identify with this a teeny weeny bit. When after the 40-day situation, you know, he went into when he got out of the ark, he's kind of like, I need a vacation. You know, and of course he grew a vineyard and got loaded, but I don't plan on doing that. But you know, it's kind of interesting how that you just want a vacation after some major operations going on, and we're not even done yet. I mean, it's just gonna be amazing to watch all of it come to pass and all of it work and all of it do its thing. It's going to be an amazing phenomenon, to say the least. And I have you guys to thank for your obedience to God and what you've done, and helping out and praying and believing God and being faithful to God in the way He told you to do it. Really been awesome. Really, really, really been awesome. So really, 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 really grateful to God for, all the stuff that's going on. It's just been amazing. And so, really, really been amazing. So we are working on having church on the internet. In a way preparing for what is to come. And we want to be really ready. I have a system now set up to where we can do this thing anywhere. Everything I have, one room, I had four cameras, tripods, only have one light still. I got more lighting from the storage. But I haven't had time to set it all up yet because this room is so small. But what's really cool about this is that we're able to put all this in a small room and make it function, make it look pretty decent. I mean, I just got rolling with this, and we're not even halfway done. And it's looking pretty decent. The lighting needs to be fixed, some things. And I can't really change the pictures out as quickly as I want to right now, but I will soon. But we're going to do images and pictures and that kind of thing. And it's going to be really, really, really cool. And hopefully you'll be able to enjoy it and be a part of it. So if God leads and guides us, we're going to watch the Holy Spirit do some amazing things. And we're going to be an example to the world, to the church world at least, of how that, God is, he's just really, really good. That's all I'm going to tell you. And he's being good to his people. He's watching over them like a shepherd. There's nothing like that. I've ever seen anything like that in my life where he asked things that I would have never thought about. And by the grace of God, we've been doing it. We've been obedient. And so that's really been awesome that we will be able to be obedient. And I literally mean that like, yeah, because when you realize what goes on in all that, you'll understand. It was just a major operation from God. God did it. God's doing it. He's done it. He's doing it. And it's just getting started. And we are on the road again. That's for sure. All right. So, hallelujah. You go to the video right now. You don't have to get on Zoom. And you can see our little studio a little bit. I'm going to eventually be able to show the whole thing. I'm going to have other cameras and different things here and there. But right now, this is it. Okay. So, and we're going to perfect this. We're going to really perfect this really good. That's going to be that's the bubble door post we're going to do tonight. So get ready for that. Get your communion out. And we're going to, you see pictures of people, I can watch them computer and so it's kind of what's happening. We're having computer church, you know, praise God, at home. So glory to God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I want to share one quick thing tonight with you before we get going. To kind of, I think we're going to bring it into the blood of the doorpost, and we'll see what goes on. We'll see what goes on with all that. So get your communion ready. I don't even have mine out yet. I don't hear somewhere. Let me go grab mine real quick, and I'll be right back. Just got it out of here. Okay. All right. So we are at it, and we believe in God for miracles of all sorts. So that's what we're believing God for, and I think we're going to get them for sure. All right. All right. I want to talk about this tonight. I keep going, trying to get over there and can't quite get there. I believe that some of the things that cause things to come to a place. I think the spiritual actions that God had some people do brought things come quicker than you would have normally thought. Right? I mean, some of us, I think, are shocked at the quickness, and it seems like things are just happening faster than normal. Right. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but that's kind of what's going on. And so so what I began to see that was that asking the Lord about it was information on, you know, why? I'm a why asker. I mean, I ask why all the time about all kinds of things. And so here's what I see. Here's what I one of the things God showed me. The cup of iniquity got filled up faster. Because when God finds somebody who can who will be used of Him to bring to light the things that are truly sin and that are truly a problem, instead of just the outlining things, which don't really mean a lot. I mean, they're all everything's important with God, but there are some things that God has had some of His servants point the finger at and say, you know, you gotta quit doing that. And if you don't quit doing that, it's gonna cost you. So you warn them and then you love them, right? In every area. So what we've done, is that we have warned. We did a lot of things with the blood over the doorpost, and the blood over the doorpost. That part of it. I've been working all day long, y'all. I mean, like, wow. Anyway, so what has caused things to start happening faster in acceleration mode in the world? It's because the cup of iniquity has been, if you will, being overflowing. Because when a prophet or a servant of God begins to point the finger at things, when a servant of God begins to point the finger at what most people are not pointing the finger at, that is an abomination to Him, and everybody else has gotten used to it. Remember how Israel, before they were overtaken by Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, remember how they just... It was just nothing for them to be doing what they were doing. They kept being warned by Jeremiah. Jeremiah was acting crazy. He was doing some, you know, really outlandish things, prophesying things, making prophetic acts, doing stuff that was getting everybody's attention. And they're going like, you know, what's wrong with him? You know, and God will use a prophet like that. He'll use you to, anything he can do to get attention to what you're doing, he will do that. He will use any strategy that it takes to get people's attention, the globe. And when we have, and I'm talking mainly about PGN tonight, and what I don't know what others have done. I know what God has had me doing. And God began to show me how, through the word of the Lord, bringing things to light that have been, people act like it's a good thing or it's an okay thing. They said that merchandising, for example, one of the biggest things was, they were calling it good. They called it good. God started calling it evil to me. He started saying it was abomination to me, and yet they were calling it good. So what happened is, because when God deals with leadership and he starts calling leadership into convicting them of their sin or what's going on, or at least making them aware of it, leadership is a whole nother level of the filling up the cup when you're dealing with leadership. And so like Jesus, when Jesus came in and he started talking to the all of the leaders, one of the main things that he did was that he made them aware of what they were doing. He said, before I told you, you were okay. But now that I'm telling you, it's sin. It's sin. And there's scriptures that talk about that. I've got a Matthew 24:21. Romans 9:28, and some other scriptures too, in John, where Jesus was, dealing with, bringing light to the leadership that what you're doing is darkness and you're saying it's light. Therefore the iniquity now could speedily fill up the cup. Because the prophets or Jesus or whoever, Jeremiah, he made them aware of it. He made them aware of it. So what happened, it helped quicker speed up the filling up of the cup of iniquity. And all of a sudden, sins that were not made aware of that were just didn't seem to be any kind of problem. Everybody was doing it. Now it's kind of like, oh, my God, he says that's evil. Who does he think he is? And so you make them aware of it. Then they begin to fight back. And when they fight back against the word of the Lord, what happens is that iniquity, those sins become, go from being regularly big to really, really big. And they start being thrown into the cup. Thrown into the cup of iniquity. And that iniquity begins to overflow. So as you guys know, a few years ago, when we were in our last studio, I began to prophesy that, why do we need to wait any longer? What are we waiting for? And God was telling me that. What are we waiting for? What are you waiting for, Randy? I mean, waiting for what? He started asking me, what do you need more time for? What are you going to do with more time? What's more time going to do you? And I'm going like, well, we need more time so we can, get people right with God, and we can do all this stuff. And, come on, God, we just need more time. We need more time. And I can really explain what we need more time for. It made sense to me. But when I did it in his presence, it just made no sense. It was like worthless. It was like throwing chaff up in the air and it blew away with the wind. And so all my reasons for it needing more time just meant nothing. He said, I can do a quick work with like the two witnesses. I can use them to be so powerful that they will cause the, they can evangelize the world in a very short time. And so, with the power of God that's going to be on them, they can evangelize the globe in 3.5 years. Easily. So don't worry about that. That's not a good reason for delaying. He said, so just keep telling them what I say, because I want to bring it to an end. I want to stop this nonsense of just going on and on and on and on and get new presidents and get new things. And he said, the governments of men are coming to an end. the governments of men. You know, the government of God is going to come, in other words, like the vision that Daniel had. And so I'm just kind of like going, okay, that makes sense. So just tell them, huh? just tell them. And so I started telling it. We started doing it for years. And so what happened was the acceleration mode of the cup of iniquity being filled up so that God could take it to the next place began to happen speedily, because now not only did they know the word of the Lord was against their merchandising as leadership, but now what's happening is that they're fighting it and mocking it. I can show you videos of what looked like to me, some of the people that know about what I do, were sitting there mocking me on a show. They were literally going, like, Lance Wallnau was one of them, you know, and some of the other guys, I can think of all the names, but they were sitting there going, yeah, oh, you want to buy my book? Yeah, you buy my book? No, you got to pay full price for my book. You want to buy my book? And they were all going back and forth mocking this, you want to buy my book thing. I knew exactly what they were doing. And so I'm going like, Lord, that's crazy. It didn't hurt my feelings. That's kind of what's happening. He says, you know, so later on I begin to realize that as they begin to fight the word of the Lord and mock it, trying to, you know, ridicule it, make it become nothing, which it didn't do. What it did is it increased the power of it, and the cup of iniquity in the leadership realm, in the merchandising, began to so overload and fill up. And little sins became big sins, and big sins became bigger sins. And it happened at an accelerated level. It happened at an accelerated level. So you know, it's very interesting how all that began to happen. And then, boom, you know, that we're given the name of the Antichrist in September 22, September the 12th. And then, 3 days later, the Antichrist showed up. The red heifer showed up. The red heifer shows up, you know. And now we can have the Antichrist. And the red heifer came from Texas, right? We talked all about that all the time. But you got to understand, this is all God rewarding me, and some of you possibly too, rewarding me, specifically saying, Randy, the job you're doing me, good job. And we'd get the transfer of wealth thing, which I wasn't sure that was ever going to happen as far as the transaction for it and finding out how to do it. I mean, it's one thing to say it, it's a whole other thing to actually do it and it be the right thing. I mean, it was just like, I can't even explain why that was so difficult. But, you have to do things according to the pattern, and so you can't change it. So what happened was, little by little, I began to, see that, God was starting to really deal with me about, making people aware of their sin. And friend, I mean, I'm talking about family members. I've been so tested on this. I had people, family members. I told you a little bit about this, but some of you think you know the details, but you really don't. Some of you think you know, but you really don't. You really don't know. You've been told things, I know, but you don't really know from God or from me. Yeah, either one. So the thing is that the whole process of God causing me and getting the word of the Lord became about exposing the sins of all kinds, sexual sins, financial sins, the big ones, Now, some of the things they stoned you for in the Old Testament, right? And so, God began to, have me expose those things and having me talk about them and having me deal with them. And I'm going like, okay, God, why are you having me do this? I mean, this is like causing me a lot of trouble. You don't know the truth. And you start messing with your family in that area, like anybody but your family. Come on. But even in your own family, the family thing has to be dealt with. So God was, in a sense, accelerating the cup of iniquity in many areas, and especially in the area of family and the things that go on in family, not just in families. I mean, families that have been going on for years, generation after generation, that kind of family thing, not my family thing or your family thing, the family thing. Yeah. So that cup of iniquity, a lot of things have been hidden over the years. You see what I'm saying? Things have been hidden, and God says, Randy, if I can just find somebody that will do this for me, I will reward you greatly because you're going to pay a price. And one of these days, I'm not going to tell you the price that's been paid. It's not, you know, I'm not. It was unusual. I'll say that. But the amazing part was how God just protected me, watched over me, and did things. And they still, some of them are still at it a little bit, you know. And it's like they never give up. I guess maybe they're supposed to. I don't know. So, you know, so I began to, you know, make, you know, people aware of their sin. You start hearing me talk about sexual things and incest that happened in the Bible and getting into that. And I know people were getting tired of hearing that. But the reason God had me do it was because he was bringing forth things that were totally hidden that nobody wants to hear about. Don't talk about that. God says, if I can get somebody to talk about it for me, I will use that to accelerate, especially when they start fighting you, even on my own show, fighting me and trying to, you know, do things. I know, believe me, I got an angel who watches everything, and if he needs me to know it, he just shows me. And the Holy Spirit, of course, that too. You know, so, but it's amazing because he shows you so many things, you know, that are going on. It's like, and then you can't say anything. You got to just let it go on. He said, you want me to expose it? And I said, no, hang on. Let's watch it. I want you to watch the whole thing in front of your own eyes. And you, because when Jesus knew who Judas was all along. He knew he was stealing from the pot, from the treasury. He knew he was stealing from it. He knew the whole time he knew it. You know, that just shows you when you trust God for your provision, it doesn't matter if you got a Judas stealing from you. And I can tell some stories on that. I will sometime soon. And so I knew some things were going on, you know, and I said, God, you want to bring that out now? What's going on? And people, you know, trying to do things, even on the show, the different stuff, people, you know, with the PGN people and doing things. And if he just don't expose anything yet, let's just wait. And so I waited and waited and watched, and I'm watching the whole thing. They don't even know that I know stuff. And I'm watching and listening and going like, you know, okay, this is kind of fun, sort of. It's like they don't know. And like, you know, so it was a learning lesson for me. It was the most fun thing, one of the most fun things I've ever seen. I have a wild sense of humor. Prophets have different senses of humor, I guarantee you. I know I do. And so I kind of thought, well, I can see why you don't want to talk about that. I can see why you... Well, that's not working very good at that. I can see why you want to do that, you know, and it was kind of fun to sit back and just watch things go on and people communicating with people and hitting me here and hitting me there. Yeah. It was a blast, man, in a way. It was, you know, difficult too, but, and what was a blast about it is that I knew the whole time and they didn't know that I knew. And so I'd ask questions like, well, you know, where do you get that information? And they lie like a dog, man, lie like a dog. And because, you know, they don't know that I know. And so I never let them know. And then one day on a couple of things, the Lord says, now's the time. Go ahead and bring it out into the open. I'm going like, which one? let's go for that one. And so, okay, so I started doing it, and I had some family things and some PGN things and just different things going on. And, you know, like, could you imagine Jesus, what it was like for the disciples when Jesus had his 12 around him getting ready to take communion? He says, one of you is going to betray me. And they all looked at each other like, is it me? Is it me? Could you imagine? I don't think it's a wise thing for a leader to say, one of his 12 is going to betray him, right? Because they're all looking, what a thing to say to people, like, you know, I mean, but Jesus did it and he had a reason for it. So I started learning all these different reasons why God does stuff. Yeah. I mean, it was hilarious. It was like, I've never seen or learned this stuff. I've never heard of this stuff in my life, man. And he just says, just keep letting them, just keep watching, just you know, watch it happen and learn. And so I did, and after a while, it's like I wasn't even offended anymore. Kind of like, it's kind of like almost like a game in a sense, you know? And so one day, you know, a couple of them, he says, okay, I want you to expose it now. It's like, and I didn't even know why. He just said, do it. It's kind of like Judas, you know, when Jesus, you have to see it the way I saw it, right? So when Jesus, because Jesus knew Judas was stealing from him the whole time. He knew it the whole time. And so because he knew it, once your eyes get open to something, you can see when they're doing stuff. And so I can imagine sometimes Judas was packing his pockets full of some of the gold and silver probably and, you know, some money that came in, and Jesus would look over at him, and Judas would look up and like, oh, you caught me. Except Jesus would just act like he didn't see it, and Judas would just like, I'm getting ready to go feed the poor, Lord. You know, I'm packing some of my pockets in case I see some poor people on the road. I can, you know, that's why I'm putting it into my pockets right now. Okay. So, and Jesus is kind of like, yeah, I got you. I got you, Judas. Yeah, fine. Yeah, go do that. Knowing that he was stealing, right, the whole time, and yet he never told anybody. He never let anybody know that was going on. He just kind of like went on with his stuff. And, you know, it's pretty amazing. And so there's a real responsibility with getting your eyes open to something, because sometimes you can't just jump up right away and go, you know, he knew Judas was doing it. He chose Judas. And Judas was, stealing the whole time, and he knew it all the time. He didn't make a big deal out of it. He said, oh, we got to raise a little extra money because I got a thief in my, you know, treasury. Nah, he didn't care because God was his provision, right? So, hey, Judas was supposed to be part of the crew, so why worry? And so you just let them go on and do their thing, and you watch them once in a while, and you just act like you don't see it, and you act like you don't know it. You just kind of like Jesus, when he see Judas packing his pockets with some, you know, probably some gold, silver, and whatever, and he's going like, and Judas would think he caught him, you know, my God, I'm busted, and Jesus would just act like, you know, like he was just innocent, like, and Judas would then, you know, lie again, and, you know, oh yeah, Lord, I'm just going to go do some things. I'm going to go buy some food for, okay, Judas, go Judas, yeah, go buy some good stuff, man, enjoy yourself. And friend, you know, the whole time is that he knew the whole time. I mean, he literally knew the whole time. And so it was pretty amazing. All right, somebody's trying to ask me for on tonight. Hang on a second. Let me communicate with them. Hang on a second. Yeah, so, you know, so with me, sometimes, you know, God would, he lets it go on, and if they don't know you know it, then you kind of see how far they take things and what they do with it, and, you know, and it's just, then it becomes kind of like a, wow, I mean, I'd never dreamed they'd do that, you know, and you don't really get offended about it or, you know, or worry about it. You just kind of like go, because God, when God says, you know, keep your mouth shut, you keep your mouth shut no matter what, because he's going to show you some things, you know, he's going to reveal some things. And eventually he'll bring, you know, whatever he wants to bring in that situation, according to whatever they need to be brought to them, to teach them or whatever. And so it's a really a cool thing to hear from God and know that God's speaking to you and watching over his ministry. When it's his ministry, he'll show you what's going on with stuff. And you just, you don't kind of stop it. You just kind of watch it, look at it, and let God show you when and how, you know, to deal with it. And so you learn to listen to the instruction of the Lord on everything, right? I caught you, you know, and the Lord just said, no, I don't want you doing any of that. I want you to just go. So anyway, so I would imagine that Jesus had dealing with Judas and watching him sometimes, you know, take money and knowing he was what he was doing with it. He just kind of like let him do it, you know, like, okay. Because it was building up the iniquity. It builds up the iniquity in people when they think they'll get by with something, and you let them get by with it, and you know, you warn them in different ways, but not specifically directly. So they still think they're not busted. They still think that nobody knows, and they keep doing it, which accelerates the iniquity at higher level to where their cup of iniquity gets full, so that, you know, God can deal with them quicker. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes you have to let people, unless the Lord says stop it, you have to let people do their thing, man. You have to let them do their thing and let God show you, you know, if he wants to deal with it at all. Man, try that on for size sometimes. But when you start seeing God's strategies, man, it's unbelievable how he does stuff. But most people don't want to do that. You know, if I ever catch anybody, you know, I'm going to nail, you know, I've been like that before. You know, and then when you get God's ministry going on and God says, you start looking at Jesus' ministry and what he had to deal with, you know, it was a very interesting. It became a very interesting learn. A very interesting learn. Yeah. You wonder where all my scriptures are. Just read the whole New Testament. You'll see them. They're all right in there. From Matthew to Revelation. And then some from Genesis, you know, to Malachi, or wherever. Yeah. So check them out. They're really awesome. And so, anyway, so it's pretty cool how that God does stuff. But the whole thing is about the cup of iniquity. So sometimes, like with me, God didn't stop me from being a hippie. I never was really a hippie, but I tried to be a long-haired, part my hair down the middle and smoke dope and do all that kind of stuff. And, you know, he didn't try to stop. You know what he did? He didn't try to stop me from doing it. He knew me. He threw me right in the middle of the pit of it. And when I was right, and I got thrown in the middle of it, I'm like, dear God, is this what I really want? You know, and it woke me up. And my cup of iniquity came full faster because, you know, God wouldn't try to, because sometimes when you're trying to stop somebody, you're holding the wrench, stop them, you're trying to stop them, you're trying to stop them. It's going to take them forever to get that cup of iniquity full in the sense that they're going to change, that they will finally go, okay, that's what happened to me. God just let me go. I went to San Francisco. I'm going to check out all the hippies. I think it's going to be cool, man. I'm going where the people are cool. And I got up in there, and those people, you know, I mean, it scared the hell, literally, the hell that was in me. It scared it right out of me because I'm thinking, like, I thought I was wild and crazy. These people are lunatics, double, and triple. And I thought, if this is where I'm going, you see, my cup of iniquity, God let my cup become full. And so the same thing in the prophetic realm with family stuff, with ministry stuff, with all kinds of things, you learn how to, and then there comes a time where God says, make them aware of it. You know, they've been doing their stuff, the Pharisees, the religious leaders have been doing their thing for a long time. But Jesus came on the scene to finish the cup of iniquity being made full in the religious sector of the world, God's people. And so when Jesus came, the cup of iniquity with them ran over. And, of course, when they crucified Christ, it really ran over. And then Satan was defeated. So when you start seeing the strategies that God has on things, you'll be a little bit more relaxed. At least it may take a little while to relax in some of this stuff. Because I've known, you know, literally, you know, things going on. And I said, God, you know, I got proof. I got everything. What are you going to do? He said, just let it go on for a while. And when I'm ready, I'll let you know. I'm going like, okay. You know, because sometimes people have to, you know, their stuff out. You know, they have to go until they go. And then and when they finally come to the end, if you let them come to the end of themselves instead of dragging it out for years. I mean, you shouldn't be stopping people from sinning. I'm not saying that necessarily. I'm just saying do what God says do. And when he says, don't get that son out of jail or that daughter out of jail or don't go save him from the drug house. Yeah, you're going to worry about him, you know, ODing and all that, you know. But if you give it to God, God will use it to fill their cup up quick. And they'll be crying out for Jesus real soon. Amen. Any of y'all ever heard anything like this before? Are you shocked? Are you like, are you still with me? Fell asleep? Everything okay? I hope everybody's fine. I'm trying to share with you what God's telling me. So anyway, 9:52. Let's get ready. I'm in the studio tonight. I'm on video. You can go to the Carmen goes, amen. Thank you. Somebody went amen. I know y'all listen. Y'all amen me quietly and I, whatever. It's all good. I'm just like, you know, throwing a little out there. Yeah, I know the camera view from the, somebody else went, amen. Thank you, Davida, or whoever that is. That view from the camera on the left is bright. I know. You know why, Glenn? Because the light is right there. Davida's going, yes. Thank you, DeVita. DeVita? Is it DeVita? DeVita, DeVita. DeVita, DeVita. Yeah, I know it is because the camera, because you know why? Because the light for that camera is like right here. So that's why I got new lighting in from the studio. I mean, from the studio, from the storage. I got new lighting. I got the lighting that we had in the storage. I finally got some of it out, but I haven't been able to set it up, and it'll be under control pretty soon. So thank you for that. Thanks for that information. And this part, you can see this monitor looks really good here, but there it looks a little darker. And there's a reason for that, because those monitors aren't connected correctly yet. I didn't have time to totally connect them properly. So a lot of little things were getting done. Thank you for letting me know about all that. I appreciate it. You already did the Blood of the Doorpost. So I'm trying to share with you guys tonight. I know I'm not like, I'm in a parable mode again tonight, because that seems to be a lot in, where I'm not quoting scriptures, you know, in particular, taking to the scripture and reading scripture to you. But I'm sharing with you, you know, things that we all know about Judas, and that Jesus knew about Judas, and why did he let him rip him off for 3.5 years? You got to think about that. He ripped him off, man, for at least 3 years, 2.5, 3 at least. Because he had him in the early goings. He was stealing from him. And he never heard a word about it. Nobody even knew who Judas was. He was one of his best buddies. Jesus just best one of his friends. Nobody had a clue who the Judas was. Nobody did. You know why? Because Jesus didn't go, oh, you know, that Judas boy, he's like, I know he's stealing from me, you know, you know, that kind of thing. So, so I think we're going to approach things in a whole different way, maybe. Some of the things I've learned, I'm just sharing with you things I learned. You know, you can call it whatever you want. I'm just telling you that sometimes if you want the cup of iniquity to get full, unless God tells you specifically and directly to intervene, keep your mouth shut. Plant the word of God, water it, and let God bring the increase. He will do it quickly if you'll let him. If you mess with it, you'll drag that on for years. Saving him, you got to save him, or you want Jesus to be the savior? Which one's it going to be? Well, Randy, I'm their parent. I'm supposed to save him. What you're supposed to do is plant the seed and water it. And you're supposed to let, he and I are supposed to let God get the increase. That's really difficult for some people. It is for all of us, I think, actually. It's hard for all of us. But we got to learn how to do it. And the sooner we do, the quicker the cup of iniquity is going to get full. And we're not going to be wrestling with flesh and blood and wrestling with flesh and blood and wrestling with flesh and blood and wrestling with flesh and blood. You know, trying to fix everything and save everybody and do everything. You know, the only time we truly save anybody is for, we can never birth anybody to the kingdom without the word of God, but the only time we can, quote, save somebody from something is when God says do it. And then he does it because you did what he said. You know what I'm saying? He will do it because you did what he said. If he tells you to go get them out of jail, this time they're ready, or get them out of that drug house, this time they're ready, that's going to be a whole different thing, Bubba. And see, it's all about listening to the word of the Lord. And we're all learning to do that. We are all learning to do that. So we got to get a hold of it. We got to, God is going to start showing us how to do it. And when we do, oh, look at that. It's a bad shot. All right. So, and when we do, we're going to find that a lot of things happen a lot quicker. The cups of iniquity are going to become fuller. In every kind of area, as far as even salvation with people, we're going to find people's salvation, you know, experiences start happening with them faster. And whatever sin they're dealing with, if we'll let God, quit always trying to find out where they're going and what's going on. I'm going to bust you. I'm going to get you. If they're going to be doing it, friend, they're going to be doing it. And the more you try to stop them, unless God says, the more you try to stop them, the more they're going to become better at hiding it. And the deeper they're going to get, and the more chance you're going to have of never getting them. Do you hear me? I hope you're not just sitting there going, why doesn't he move on with the show tonight and do something important? This is important. And some of you need to listen to this because God's trying to give you answers from some of your prayers. Oh, I'm going to find him. I'm going to find out where they're at. And I'm going to catch him fornicating or committing adultery or her committing adultery. Or I'm going to find, I'm going to, I'm going to. you know what? It's hard. It's really hard to lose your life sometimes and let God do things His way. But believe me, you know, you may suffer some sharp pain, but it'll be over faster. And God will deal with it one way or the other. And if you keep messing with it, you're going to drag it on till whatever. So just keep on going, baby, if that's what you want. And wear your little self out. Your unforgiveness and your bitterness and your whatever, and I know a lot about that personally. It's hard. You have to go to Jesus with things. And it's not easy. Living for Christ is not a piece of cake always. Okay? I know you know that, but I'm trying to help you get it done faster. So, cup of iniquity, what God says, start killing the merchandiser that they're merchandising. Call it. I first started saying it's not good, it's not God. And then as I went along further, if you notice, if you've been hanging with it for a while, I started finding myself saying it's an abomination. And it went to because the cup was being filled, and the more that we spoke the word, and then when they began to mock it and resist it and fight it, oh, that just took it on to a whole other level. I just kind of like, you know, I thought God was going to let me drop off the whole thing because, I mean, once they start doing that, they fill their cup up fast. So what do we have going on now? You know, a lot of things. Gaza, look what's happening. I mean, this is not just another war. This is something going on, y'all. So, and I'm trying to help you understand how God gets it to accelerate. He brings people like Jesus or bring a prophet on the scene, like Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, even though people don't listen, he said, well, people aren't listening. You don't have that many hits on your thing, Brother Randy, Brother Jeremiah. I mean, there's nothing. There are many people aren't really listening to you. It doesn't matter. When God tells you to do something and God's telling you to do it, friend, everywhere it needs to go is, oh, they're talking about it when they go to bed. And you see that idiot out there laying in that cooking food with his own dung? And what is wrong with him? He's like his mama must be ashamed. And they're talking about it privately. Oh, they're getting a lot of hits, all right. Woo-ah. Yeah. There's a lot of hits going on. That bad mouthing you, sucker, you don't even know it. I don't know what I'm saying, but. Yeah, so God knows who's getting the real hits. And the real hits are more on the, I want to say the important people that God is dealing with, the leadership. When God deals with 5 million leadership, it's like dealing with 50 billion people. So it's not how many hits you have of 5 billion, it's who you're hitting, who God is using you to speak to, and who is getting mad and say, you got to hear what this Chandler guy says about what we do with our air, and he's explaining all this other, like, we got to stop this guy. Or just ignore the heck out of him. That'll do it. Wrong. Because when God has you doing something, bro, it don't make a rip whether anybody listens to you or not. That's why I tell people in PGN. If you don't have anybody listening to you, I know it's hard, but keep on keeping on. If you can, keep on keeping on, because you're going to learn what I learned, that it doesn't matter how many people are listening to you. It's what you're doing, what God says. And when you're doing what God says, He will take your little bit and make it into multitudes. They're out there talking about you. They may not even know your name, but they're talking about that message, and it's the message that God's trying to get, like merchandising. It's the message about merchandising that God's trying to get out there to cause the cup of iniquity for the leadership to come to a full so that He can get a new leadership. Ha! That's what happened. Jesus brought the Jewish leaders to the full cup of iniquity, running over. They crucified Him. And then what happened? He got new leadership. This is what's going on in the globe. That's why the one world Antichrist, God is going to allow it, because He's going to allow the cup of iniquity to go full. He's going to let Satan feel, He's going to let Satan get so crazy and happy that he's doing all this stuff, and I'm going to win now. He's going to fill his own cup up so quick, and God is letting him do it.
If people are trying to stop, oh, we got to stop that Antichrist people, not bad people, got to stop them, baby. Well, we need to pray that people get saved and delivered and don't take the mark and all that. But no, we don't need to stop nothing. What do you want to stop it for? Stopping that. Stop the coming of Jesus, friend. Wake up. Get out of that religious funk you're in and get that stupor and that stupor look off your face and off your heart and wake up. And start understanding the Word of God like the Word of God really is, instead of the way your religious people, your religious leaders who are living half in the darkness anyway. I'm not saying they're bad, nasty people, but if they're merchandising, that's one thing that's got them in the dark, especially now that we've been proclaiming this for a few years. And the more they criticized it, the more they kept doing it, even though they were made aware of it, that increased the level of darkness that they got into because of it. And it accelerated the cup of iniquity to be made full. And some of y'all, people after trying to stop the prophets from doing their stuff, some of you big mouth, you know-it-all religious creeps, creepy-crawling religious people, you know, I know you're a human being, I love you, and you're probably saved, but that little creepy-crawling snake religious spirit that uses you to bind up the prophet, no, you're binding yourself up because you know what? God's not going to, as long as he's got one person that doesn't give up and I don't give up, I'm as stubborn as any donkey you've ever seen when it comes to the word of the Lord, especially. See, I'm going to budge because ain't that many people really listening. Are you kidding me? I know who's listening. Well, how many hits you got going on? I don't know. How many hits you got going on? Live feed ended. We're going to do the blood of the doorpost. We haven't done the blood of the doorpost. We've got to do the blood of the doorpost. You said the live feed's not working? Is it working now? It's working on my end. Is it not working? Somebody, is anybody even watching that? All right, let's do the blood of the doorpost, y'all, and then we're going to take communion in the light of the revelation I hope that you've been able to listen to, and you didn't go to sleep and wait till, you know, I mean, sometimes I get a little irritated. I do get a little irritated from that. It is true. Because I need you to hear this message, these messages. These messages may not be, these messages may not be what you want, what you think is like within. I'm not talking about Gaza tonight and the war, you know. Yeah, but I'm telling you why it's going on and why things are accelerating. I'm giving you the answer to that. And I've been part of that as well as I'm sure others have been too, because we've been making sin. You know, when God says, you know, that's why prophets are important and why good teaching is important, especially prophets, because they take sin, and when people, when they talk to them about it and then they either don't stop, they mock or whatever they do, then God uses that to accelerate the cup, to finish a thing. That's what he does. So when I saw him mocking it, you know, and I'm talking about people that I, you know, they were having fun too. It must have been fun until the Holy Ghost hit them. But it looked pretty cute on there. Are you going to buy my book? Yeah, yeah, buy. Oh, no, you're going to buy my book. No, no, full price. Like they were trying to degrade the word of the Lord, you know. And so, hey, happy, whatever. Happy Bible selling. Happy Jesus selling to you, I guess. Because it's going to take you down. That's all I can tell you. And it doesn't have to, but it will. All right, so we're going to do the blood of the doorpost now. So thank you for that. Let's do this. I'm not sure how this audio is going to go when I get up, because the audio is on the okay.
All right. Got people saying they're listening and they're watching. Okay, thank you for that. All right. Thank you very much. We're not on Zoom tonight. Go to the website. Hang on a second. We're going to do the blood of the doorpost, then we're going to take communion. Okay, we're not on Zoom tonight, but you can watch the show. We don't have to have Zoom through video. We're doing video through Subsplash. Okay? We're doing video through Subsplash. All right, so we're going to do the blood on the doorpost, and hopefully you can hear the audio on this because I know the audio comes from the computer on this. So somebody will let me know, I'm guessing. You know what? Hang on a second. I think I just figured out something. I'll be right back. Okay. All right. What am I doing here? What am I doing here? All right, there we go. Okay. All right, hope you can hear me tonight on the video, because I know I have the audio is on the Mac computer and I have my phone right here. So if you're listening by Blog Talk. All right, so tonight this is what we're going to do. We're going to do the blood of the doorpost. And okay. All right. We're thanking God right now for tonight because we have conquered the ceiling of the gold and silver. Talked about this for like 8 years, right? It's really amazing. And so now we are about to see the coming to pass of the wealth transfer. That is what's next. So get ready for that. All right. And understand that if you've been doing what God's telling you to do, then God's going to bless you whether you're part of PGN or not. If you've been a part of PGN, then you partake of the mantle that God gave for the wealth transfer, literally here through the money you have given and CPGN. So thank you for that. All right. So tonight, Lord Jesus, we thank you for opening the eyes, for causing the cup of iniquity to become full in all of our lives, things that we need to deal with, things that we've been hiding, things that we have been thinking, oh, I don't need to deal with that. And it's been hurting us, and we don't even know it's been hurting us. It's been messing with us, and we don't even know it's been messing with us. It's been stopping us and hindering us from being blessed, and we didn't even know it. So God, let it get filled up so that we can come to a place of brokenness and go, I just give up. I just quit. But we thank you tonight for the blood over the doorpost tonight. We thank you, Jesus, for the blood of the Lamb over your people tonight, dear Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we are declaring and decreeing that the blood of Jesus is enough. The blood of Christ is enough. Hallelujah. It's not what we have to do ourselves. It's what the Lord Jesus has done. And we thank you, Lord, tonight that that is a done deal, that it is finished, it is done. And, Lord, we thank you tonight for every person that listens to PGN, every person who's been a part of PGN for years, that we are about to literally watch the transfer of wealth and the currency situation become something brand new in the globe for the body of Christ so that we can have our own currency, just like Israel had, exactly like Israel had, even gold and silver. When they came out of Egypt, they came out with their currency. That's what they did. They came out with their currency. And so I'm going to sit down here. So, yeah, so pretty cool. And hopefully you're able to see that and understand that and know what I'm talking about, and that God is, you know, he's really working on some things and allowing you to realize that because what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, you know, we can have our provision in every area, not just our sins taken away. All right, but we will have our sins taken care of even with our debts, literally, physically, our debts. And communion is as much about your financial debt as it is about your sin debt, about understanding it, about knowing what God says about it, so you can appropriate it and start becoming free of your things, whatever they are. I forgive you, but if God forgive you, have you asked him to forgive you? Or are you just not asking him for whatever reason? All right? And are you sincere when you say, I don't want to do that anymore, right? Because until you get sincere about it, it's going to keep getting you. Until you get sincere, it's not going to go to the level, the blood's not going to be able to go to the level of your genetic code and wash that sin away in your genetic code, the stain in your genetics, your DNA. That's why Jesus shed his blood, was because the blood washes away. But you have to be sincere about wanting to get free. That's why we examine ourselves when we take communion, to see if we really want to be free. How sincere are you about wanting to be free? Or are you just kind of like you gotten so used to doing your thing that you're not really sincere about getting free of it? Then I wouldn't take communion if I were you. But if you want to, then take it so that God can give you the desire or the power. Power is in the desire, right? When your desires quit contradicting each other and you desire to be free, truly free, then when you take, wash yourself with the blood is able to open up and go to that part of you because of the sincerity and the conviction of the Spirit. Then that's when your DNA begins to be dealt with, the root of the situation, because of your sincerity. Jesus said, John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit meat worthy of repentance. Bring forth fruit meat worthy of repentance. That's what John the Baptist said, and that's what he was saying. So I'm saying the same thing. So when we bring forth fruit, meat worthy of repentance, it means we really are not just sorry today so we can be forgiven and then tomorrow we're going to do the same thing again, but we truly are sincerely convicted by the Holy Spirit. And when you cry out to God in that way, then he will cleanse your DNA, the root of the thing, and that thing will be gone. And that's what we're going to believe God for tonight. But the cup of iniquity with you has been filled up and full, and you're ready to move on in that area of your life, whatever it is. Right? Yeah.
So, you know, friend, I'm not here to condemn you. If I condemned you, I'd condemn myself. I might not have done what you did, but you also might not have did what I did. So who's judging anybody for who had the worst things going on and maybe still have some? I'm not judging you. I'm not interested in it. I'm interested in bringing you, getting your cup full so that you can move on past it. Because if you truly cry out, I mean, true crying out, not going to happen. I know people have cried out to get saved for years, never got saved. But one day something happened, they got broken, God filled their cup of iniquity up where they were totally, you know, he filled mine up fast because he threw me right in the middle of a bunch of sin. Just let me have it. Hey, you want some of that sin, Randy? You want it to a high level, you think? You think you want that? Okay. Here, let me help you get to San Francisco. Yeah, you're going to see where you're going. I'm going to show you the future of you. And I tell you, girlfriend, my brother, friend, whatever you are tonight, you know, when I saw that cup of iniquity, it's like I saw a thing, and that's what I looked like at my cup of iniquity. I said, if that's where I'm going, I do not want to go there. And God showed me my cup full in the image of those people. And I thought, dear Jesus, who would ever want that? They're lunatics and don't even know. They gone past the farm. I'm not saying they're past no return of getting born again, but it's going to take a move of God, that's for sure. I mean, literally. They were like loony birds. Well, that's the way God let me see it. And I did not want any of it. So he has his way of dealing with it. We have to give our loved ones, our husbands, our wives, our children. We've got to speak the truth to them and then love them. Don't speak the truth to them and then walk away from them. That's not Jesus. Jesus speaks the truth, conviction of sin, will tell you exactly what you're doing wrong, and then he will just love you. He didn't walk away from you and say, hey, you dirty neck. When you get right, come back. That's why we take communion, even though you have problems and issues. You're examining yourself, but the examination is more of, do I want to be free of my sin, not do I have any sin? Because the whole thing about communion is being free of your sin, not do I have any. Am I doing any recently? Amen? Y'all getting this? I hope so. It's really important. I'm going to get it to you any way I can, because when I do, God rewards me, though people get mad at me. Yeah, I get rewarded by God because he knows I'm doing it from him, his love, his mercy, his grace. Period. I judge you, I'd be judging myself. But I have to tell you, and then I love you. That's why Jesus was a friend to Judas. He knew he was stealing. He knew who he was. He knew that without Judas, he wouldn't get the job done. He looked at things completely different than you and I do, friend. Without Judas, Jesus would have never got that job done. He was the one who came and brought the priest to the lamb to pick the lamb up and take the lamb, be crucified, or to get his blood. We'll talk more about that in the future. I know people don't like to hear about this stuff sometimes, but some people do. I think some people learn from it. I think we're learning from it a little bit. It's going to change our whole perspective on everything with God. All right, hope you like the studio. I just kind of showed off a little bit. You know, I'm not able to change the pictures out like I want to yet. I mean, I'm kind of got some up there, but I like to change them out during the show and all that, and I'm not doing it right now because I like to present images of things, and yeah, so we're working on all of it, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's fun work, putting it all together, and when it actually does something, it's amazing. All right, so we're not on Zoom tonight. Zoom is difficult for some reason with my system. I don't know why. I thought it was going to be easy, and it ended up not being as easy as I wanted it to be, probably because I'm, you know, me, but either way, I have a setup through Subsplash, you know, the app where I can do video through them, and I've had it for a couple of months, paying for it, so I realized, you know, let's just use that all the time, and then, you know, it was mentioned from that Glenn this night, and I
So I did it. The Wailing Wall. What's the Wailing Wall? Oh, you want to know what the Wailing Wall is? I got the Wailing Wall. Yeah, I got the Wailing Wall. I do have the Wailing Wall. I've actually got the pictures. I don't have everything organized right here in front of me, so that I can move them around. Because they're all on screens, right? They're all on these screens. I have the Wailing Wall. I have the everything. I have all that. Yes, thank you for asking. I do have all of it. And as I get my computer upgraded with the new system, and where I can sit right here and change the pictures out myself, real easy. That's what I'm working on right now. I worked on that today, actually. But I didn't get it quite accomplished. Although I don't have the Ford up there today and the other thing, so that was good. All right, y'all. I think we're doing better, and we're getting things together. I'm figuring out what works. Zoom has not been working for me very well. I thought it would, so we may still use it. I'm not sure. I bought a year for like $179, so I hope it's not too big of a loss. But bought gold and silver. Bought some more gold and silver today for you. Bought some, a little teeny bit for me, personally. Because that's nobody's business, but I think, why not? Yeah, whatever. We also have bullion depository, Texas Bullion Depository. We have an account with Texas Bullion Depository. Is that what it's called? Texas Bullion Depository. And with the state, we have an account with them, you know, for keeping it. So all this really cool. Waiting for the debit card thing to happen. That hasn't happened yet. So get ready for that. All right. I need one more monitor here and one more monitor there and one more monitor. Okay. I need three more monitors. I'm going to get three more monitors. I'm going to do it until I'm happy with it. Okay. So all I have to do is purchase them, and then I do all the work putting them all together. So that saves a lot of money. All right, you guys, let's take communion. Let's lift it up to Jesus. Thank you for being on with us tonight. We're going to take communion tonight that God will, if your cup of iniquity is full of areas of your life where you keep struggling and battle with things, whatever it is, whether it's self-pity or whether it's some other something, whatever it might be, it doesn't matter. Jesus wants to help you. And, so, Lord, tonight, we thank you for your precious body. We lift up the bread and read the scripture, 1 Corinthians 11:23. Paul the Apostle says, I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me, the feet sin. Would you be free from this burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you be free in your victory? Yeah, how it goes. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power. We lift the cup in it, power in it. Amen. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me, this sentence. Precious Jesus. There is power. Power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Or would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you be free? There's wonderful power in the blood. Hallelujah, Lord. I speak to your people tonight, whatever their bondage is. I don't care. I don't know. I know you don't care either. You just want to get free. And Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight, Lord, for setting your people free. Let it be done right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I break every bondage. I speak cleansing power over your DNA as you sincerely cry out to God about whatever it is that's messing with you, where you keep doing the same old things, having the same old thought processes that you wish you didn't have. And they keep messing with you, and he's trying to figure out maybe it's God, maybe it's not. And you know it's not God. You know some of that stuff. It's just This is not God's bondage. And I thank you, Lord, tonight for the power of the blood. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. There's wonderful power in the blood. All those genetic codes be broken in every family. Like, I have pictures of family right now. In Jesus' name, I pray that these beautiful, wonderful people that are types and shadows of the people that we talk to and that we love, that God, in the name of Jesus, you will set them free and cleanse them in the depth of their being, where their genetic, their DNA will be cleansed and washed, and the burden and the power of that sin will be broken by the power of the blood. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. We speak over families tonight, God, in Jesus' name, family, in the name of Jesus, be set free of your burden of sin, because there's wonderful power in the blood of Jesus, in the blood. Hallelujah. Let it be done, God, right now, over the children, over mom and dad, over grandpa and grandma. In Jesus' name, those who are alive, in the name of Jesus, set them free from this burden of DNA, the power of sin, in Jesus' name. Set them free, God, right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, let it be done. All right. Praise God. Be healed. Be set free. Be washed. Be cleansed. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Okay. That's that on that. Let's get ready to pray over offerings. I haven't even gathered the offerings together yet, so give me just a moment. I've been so at it, I haven't had a chance to do that. But thank you for giving. Thanks for what you do for PGN. I'm going to gather the offerings together for your children, grandchildren, yes, all of that, in Jesus' name. All right, as I gather the offerings together, you can pray, take a little break, do whatever. I'll be right back, and I'm going to, what am I going to do? I think I'm going to do this. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. All right, we're going to take just a moment and get all this together for you. So thank you for giving me just a moment here. I'll be right back. Okay. Okay. All right. All right, everybody, I'll be right back. All right. Be right with you, everybody. I'm getting some things going on here. See you right there. Be right back. All right, I just appeared for a minute because people are giving offerings, so I'm adding up the offerings real quick. Thank you for that. Let's see here. All right, I'm back, adding up offerings. People giving in. I was running a little late myself today, getting everything done, so a lot happening. Buying silver and gold again today. That was fun. Wow. Yep. Amazing. Phase two is about to begin. It'll be pretty cool to watch. We'll talk about all that soon. All right. Let's get ready to pray. Thank you for being on tonight. We're going to pray our offerings tonight. Thursday night is when we always pray our offerings. So if you're new tonight, you know what's going on. This is what we do on Thursday. We do video and do the blood of the doorpost. And activate things, deactivate things. Oh, I got a couple of things. One more couple of things. Hang on a second. All right. Welcome. We are back. Thank you, Jesus. And doing the blood of the doorpost tonight. Thank God for that. I tell you, pretty cool. Pretty amazing. All the things that have happened in the last few years. Unbelievable. So thank you for giving tonight. Thanks for your help. We are going to leave God for miracles in every realm. All right? Every realm. So, okay. Well, Gene says, okay, I don't understand. God gave me word saying he would expose the stealing of inheritance that my brother was doing, and even after 4 years as a lawyer, nothing got exposed on that. Understand it yet. I don't either. Sometimes, I don't know. I don't know either. Guess we talked about being in God's dwelling place. Well, I found that today while trying to, Carmen, trying to fix my swamp cooler that as I plugged it in after cleaning it, because it wasn't cleaning right, that I almost shocked myself. I've done that before. I have shot myself before. The prongs had been melting slowly. I went for the part to replace it. Well, they were surprised. I still had a 19-year-old swamp cooler still working. The company that made the parts went out of business because their parts could catch on fire and melt. Oh, my gosh. I felt God's love and protection. Yeah, I would say. Woo! I was giving her a word. Carmen a word last night, I think, about being in the shelter or the protection. Yeah, so I think she's talking about that. Psalm 91, yeah. Awesome. That's really cool. Really, really cool. I love it. You never know what God's doing. Wow. Okay. All right. Okay, request tonight. Okay, private message. You know, Thursdays, I get a lot of text and stuff and information per request, so I try to take care of that. Okay. Yeah, you hear me now because I turned it off for a minute because I was gathering together the offerings for tonight. Thank you for that. Okay. All right, let's pray for offerings tonight. Thank you for being with us. And, yeah. Okay. That would be better. Okay. Be better. Thank you for that. All right. All right. Let's pray tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Andrea. Thank you, Lord, for Andrea. And Jesus, we thank you, Father, for, you know, showing her the power of the Word in a way she's never seen before, known it, the power of the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, and the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet, and a difference between a prophet who's off sometimes and maybe got off into some wrong stuff and needs some recovery, needs some help, and those who have gotten off into total darkness, and to know the difference between them so that we can make sure we don't get defiled by chasing after things. You know what the enemy does is teachings and prophecies that are false, you know, that are just not God, is that they get us to chase. They get us to chase stuff, you know, I mean, we start chasing things. And when you do that, it causes a real problem because you get distracted from the will of God. Not that you just get distracted and you start doing, you know, crazy stuff. You get distracted from the will of God. Anything to distract you from God's perfect will. Because the whole thing with us is that Paul's thing was is the perfect will of God, walking in the perfect will of God. And so so anything to distract from that. So I thank you, Lord, for showing her, open her eyes even more, as you do all the time. Continue to open up her eyes, let her see your love and your mercy and your grace for everything you're doing for her, God. Yeah. All right, Jeannie, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. And bless her, God. Show her the things that she needs to deal with. You know, we all deal with things. Sometimes I've dealt with things, like I've talked about many times, things I didn't even know I need to deal with. People give me a word. You need to deal with something you don't even know you need to deal with. I'm like, all right. Sure enough, you know, it would show up, you know. And so I don't understand everything. And you know, you have to just get things over to God. Some people let a little bitterness or something creep in through some thing. It could be anything. And so it tries to creep in there and defile you. The Bible says, let no root of bitterness rise, you know, spring it up and you defile many. Because when I become, you know, upset over something, you know, and we have a right to be upset. Sometimes if I don't deal with it in the proper time, then it begins to mess with others, you know, like our family members or people that we're around a lot, because what's in us gets on them. So I know God is always having me, you know, watch myself, you know, to make sure that I keep myself in a place where I don't ever let a root of bitterness. We can have bitterness. We can have troubles and issues sometimes. I've had them. I've talked about them. And I have to watch myself constantly that I don't, you know, step into, because you can step into them easily and don't even know it. I talked about the thing where the guys helped me move out of the studio, you know, the thing, the film, and I sort of find myself being bitter over that. Yeah, my gosh, but I didn't let it become a root. See, the Lord says don't let it get rooted in there, because once it gets rooted, then it's hard to get out. So what we need, he's always having me watch over my roots, what I let get rooted in my thoughts. And then I teach it to other people, just like I talk to you about it and everybody about it, because we have to be warned. And people get offended when you talk about it. If you're trying to say I've got a root of bitterness, I don't know. You could. So what? get rid of it if you do. Oh, you're trying to say, you know, I've talked to people for many, many years, and some people are get offended about everything that you tell them if it's not totally positive in every fashion. You know, and that just shows you that they got a root of bitterness in there, or they got some things they got to deal with, because everything that you tell them, if it's not perfectly okay and positive, then, you know, they get really offended. Like, how, you mean you're saying there's something, might be something wrong with me? How can you say that? You know, so it's something that, that we deal with, and they killed prophets over stuff like that. Some people really, really let it get going and carried away, and pretty soon they're trying to get rid of the person that was, you know, yeah. So it's like, you know, that's why we have to watch it. That's why the Bible, that's why Paul warns about it. So if every time, you know, God tells us something, he's doing it for our benefit to keep us from getting there. Because we all, I tell people, anybody could be a Hitler, anybody. The most wonderful people could turn out and end up being a Hitler. Yeah, because they let one thing into the other and the other and the other and they don't get rid of it. They just keep hanging on to that same old thing. And pretty soon, you know, just like Hitler, he had a lot of bitterness with the government and different things, and he didn't deal with it. Man, I mean, he became, you know, a world influencer, all right. So we have to be careful, you know. That's where Paul says, be careful and don't let any root of bitterness springing up in you, because it will defile many. And with him, it defiled, you know, a lot in all of Germany. So we have to take it, you know, and let God show us. And so I know you have such a heart to stay pure and clean like I do. And so when we get these warnings and these things, it's like God's saying, you know, he's trying to protect us. It's another layer of protection. So thank you, Lord, for that anointing and genie, God, to help people, not only herself, but help others to keep their heart pure. And whatever things that she might be struggling with that she can't seem to get rid of or get out of or get through, help her do it, you know, in Jesus' name. And, so just want to get it watched. And be careful. And that's why Paul warned about it. That's why Jesus warned about it. He talked about it, to all of us about it. Yeah, because once it gets in there, it starts spreading, and it becomes, you know, hard to get rid of it. And I've had some unforgiveness that I've talked about that was really, really strong, and it tried to creep up on me again, like a couple of years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, you know, 2 years ago, yeah, something like that. Anyway, long time. Not that long ago, but I think it was a lot, and it started creeping up on me again. I'm going, oh dear God, there it is. I caught it, man. Thank God I caught it. Thank God for people who spoke to me clearly and didn't piddle paddle around. Yeah. So thank you for a fresh anointing for Jeannie, God, to grow into places she's never grown before, learn things she's never learned before, and break the bread deep. Come. Amen. All right, Daryl Paul, $9.99. Thank you, Lord, for Daryl Paul. Thank you, Jesus, for his future, God. We thank you, Lord, for, you know, showing him how to walk out of the past and continue to walk in the future. That, you know, God is always saying, you know, we get stuck in the past. We get stuck in the past with good things. We get stuck in the past with bad things. I mean, I've gotten stuck in the past with good things. And couldn't move on past the good thing, you know. And so it was really difficult to you know, let go of them and move on. It's not always just bad things, right, Daryl? You know that. It's not just always bad things that keep us living in the past. You know, some people live in their past. You know, like I lived in my past for years in my athletic, because it's the only thing I was good at, right? I wasn't good at anything else. And so my pride, or my whatever you want to call it, my, you know, my life was wrapped up in athletics. So every time I watched a ball game, I see myself playing pro ball, because that's what everybody said I was going to do, you know, baseball and football. And so, you know, and of course it didn't happen. There's just a lot of disappointments there. God had a different direction for me to go. But, you know, the reason he wouldn't let me watch football. Once I got saved, he said, you can't watch football for 10 years. Oh, my God. You know why it was 10 years?
because he had to root that thing out of me. He had to root that thing out of me because it was I was having trouble moving on with my life because especially when I watched a football game, I would relive my, you know, my athletic abilities. Yeah, I could do that. Yeah, I could have done that. Yeah, you know, you hear people talk about this so often, and it's hard to move on past that. And God says, so he went right to the root, man. Oh my God, I couldn't watch football for 10 years. Everybody thought I'd lost my mind. You're a football person. You love athletics. What's wrong? Does God not want you to watch? It had nothing to do with God not liking sports. It had to do with the fact that I identified with those things as being, you know, and I lived in my past. God says, you know, so anyway, it was amazing. And so God's going to show you things, you know, so because the sooner we deal with those things, whatever they are, good, bad, and ugly, the faster we move on and the faster we can receive the blessings of God. What timing is? People ask me about timing all the time. I said, you know what timing is? Timing is about your obedience more than anything. There's other things that are sovereign that happen no matter what, but your timing on your everyday life with Jesus, walking through the wilderness of your life and how you get out of the wilderness is your obedience. Children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years, and they never did get out. You know why? Because they just kept on disobeying, and therefore the timing. Could you imagine Moses prophesying, yes, we shall be here a little longer than we want, but we'll be out of here in at least 20 years. And then 20 years, 21 years came along and go, man, you false prophet, you know. Moses, it's 21 years. We're still not out of here. You know, and he's going like, yeah, you know. But he started realizing it's not my fault. It's, you know, you keep complaining and whining and you keep going around the mountain and that costs you time. So don't blame me. I mean, he didn't literally say 20 years. I'm just kind of saying that as an example. But, friend, that's it, man. Timing has a lot to do with our obedience. We keep disobeying God deliberately and willfully, knowing that we're doing wrong and keep doing it. It's not about going to hell, friend. It's about lingering on and on and on and on and maybe never getting there. That's the truth about that. Mm-hmm. That's the truth about that one. And I just gave several scriptures, though I didn't quote exactly. Give you the verbatim. The word of the Lord. I love it. All right, Nicole, 1777. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Jesus, for Nicole. Thank you, Father, for that the anointing to break yokes. God, to break yokes. You know, God's really going to use you, Nicole, to break yokes with your DNA. Things that, you know, we all have blessings and we have cursings in our DNA. We all do. And so it depends on what it is, but God really is, you know, saying he's chosen you to break that, to change that, to be the one in the family, kind of like Noah, I guess, or yeah, Noah, who was used to break that. He broke it. And he entered in, you know, to a whole other generation of thing there. And it's really, really cool. So, yeah. And very, very interesting. So God's chosen you to do that. So you're going to see the sins. You know, you're going to see things that, you know, kinfolk, the people that have issues in the family, that all that is in our genetic code. And somehow or another, it gets passed down. Unless we allow God to change us to the level where we don't pass it on. And so he's working, dealing, showing, helping, maneuvering you, working with you so that, you know, you don't pass those things, you know, down to the next generation. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing that you've been chosen to do that. I think God chooses one in every family, but not all of them do it, actually. Right? I think God chooses some in every family to do that, but they don't always choose to do it. But you are, and God's going to use you, and you're really wrestling with the truth. You want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me, God. Okay, so help me, God. Yeah. So there you go. Really, really, really cool. All right. Thank you for that blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of your blood. In Jesus' name, to set your people free. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, gonna get free. Hallelujah, we're gonna break that old tree, the cursed tree of the DNA. Gonna break it, break it, break it, oh the Lord. It's like an old, yeah. All right, break it, break it, break it. Breaking, breaking, breaking. Making, making, making. Breaking the old and making the new. Yep. All right. Amen. All right. Lisa, 1783. Thank you, Lisa. I don't know if you had a special request with that or not. You want to check, make sure she doesn't have a special prayer request with that. There we go. Okay. Thanks. Thanks. Thanksgiving offering for PGN for the kingdom blessing. All right. Yeah. All right. Okay. So there you go. All right. Thank you, Lisa, for the 1783. Thank you, Lord, for blessing. We bless her inheritance. God, in Jesus' name, that our heritage that we have in Christ will accelerate our ability to be blessed. I mean, we can have money passed down from our mom and dad or whatever, uncles or whatever that is, but it's not really blessed like it is when God is in control of it. Because people get really, you know, messed up over their inheritance. I mean, Jesus even talked to people, you know, he said, why do you, you know, come to me about your inheritance? You know, so he dealt with that in ways. And so it's a difficult thing. Inheritance can be a really difficult thing. And it can be a God thing and a wonderful thing and a blessing thing, no doubt about it. But it can also mess people up. And so when you looking to God for your inheritance, that is your spiritual inheritance that you're looking to. And that when your spiritual inheritance, if you have a nickel or $100,000 coming from your inheritance, that then inheritance from Jesus will bless your inheritance from, you know, if you have any from your kinfolk, right? So just getting an inheritance from somebody, it can just go down the tubes over nothing, right? If we don't look more toward our inheritance from Jesus and let the Spirit of God and the inheritance that we receive from him, which cannot rust or go away or be stolen or be taken, if we get our eyes on that any other way, you know, it can spoil even our physical inheritance, our natural literal. And your spiritual inheritance can also bring you literal physical inheritance. But then it will bless your, you know, it will bless your natural inheritance, right? And something's been stolen from you, you know, that you don't even know about. You know, there's something that gets stolen that we don't even know about. Sometimes it can be past generations that things have been stolen and robbed, and then one day God decides to go, hey, you know what? You'd have had this if your great uncle hadn't done that, you know, and it got stolen from you. So I'm going to recover that for you. And I see people really get bitter over this stuff, man. This is like a really big, I have a couple of people tonight praying, wanting to pray for inheritance. This is an important thing with God. It's in the Bible to pass things down to your children. So we know it's a blessing from God. But if it's not given over to God, then the enemy can rob it from us and make it valueless instead of making it a blessing. So God's spiritual inheritance not only can, you know, add to and bless your natural inheritance, but even if you don't get a natural inheritance, God can still, you know, provide for you. Yeah. So, amen. Let it be done in Jesus' name. All right, Paulette, $20. Thank you, Lord, for Paulette. Thank you, Lord, for her inheritance with you. Look, we're going to get his inheritance tonight. Thank you, Lord, for inheritance, God, that your inheritance through Christ Jesus, that when Christ died on the cross, he paid for that sin. Amen. He paid for it. He rose again from the dead, and everything that the devil's ever stolen or robbed from you and your generation, your people, God, like I say, I told this to Nicole earlier, that God would choose somebody in the family to, by faith, like Abraham did. Abraham changed his whole family inheritance by walking away from idolatry of his father and moving into the land. And his inheritance became not just the idolatrous
inheritance from his family, whatever that was, to a God-given inheritance, but he had to leave them, you know what I mean, and by faith walk into the land. And then when he did that, God began to bless him. And really, really cool. And his inheritance became a whole different thing. And then God got into his inheritance and, you know, and blessed him, in not just the national inheritance, but, you know, yeah, Jesus says, I asked that because of the teaching you did tonight. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm learning and growing in some things. So, yeah, I believe in God to do some things, man. I'm telling you, there's some, you know, if, like, we could let a root of bitterness, you know, and this, I'm dealing with everybody. I've dealt with people about this, and I tell every person that deals with inheritance, listen, this is going to get to be a nasty thing. Things can get nasty. Just the fact that we're inheriting from our genetics, natural physical money, there's stuff that comes with that can mess with you, you know, so it can, its purpose is to get our eyes on that. And then he manipulates it and wheels and deals it, you know, and then causes us to, okay, somebody just sent $13. Okay, thank you. Okay, so then, you know, because when we receive spiritual inheritance, even the money part that God blesses with, there comes no iniquity passed down with that. Because we know Jesus didn't get his wealth through crookedness, right? Through being crooked. Somebody in the family might have been crooked, might have been your brothers, uncles, you know, who knows? And so things get robbed because of, you know, all kinds of things. So sometimes a word can be, you know, it may be something genetically passed down through, you know, a brother or whatever. I don't know. You know, I mean, we hear the word Lord, we got to be able to think about it broader than just what our immediate thoughts are, right? I have to do this all the time. I said, God, what does this really mean? He said, Randy, it has to do with your genetic code. And so then we start trying to find out who to quote blame for that or to hold accountable for that. And Lord says, you know, don't worry about that. Just deal with it and don't let it creep up on you and mess you up. So your inheritance is not just physical with money and that kind of thing. It also, when you receive physical inheritance, you also have to deal with the spiritual, you know, the way that money was gotten. Not that our moms and dads would have done anything wrong, but what about some great-great-grandfather that, you know, got bitter and robbed? And I mean, who knows, you know, so you're going to deal with that stuff in the physical realm, even with your physical inheritance, because it's coming from, God knows where that money came from. They may have justified it as being okay when God says, man, what they did was wrong. And even though you're going to receive that physical inheritance, I'm going to get you to use you to cleanse and wash it so it can be totally blessed by God. So your spiritual inheritance, which was gotten without any ripping anybody off or doing anything, he did it all legally and all in justice. He all did it in the justice of the law, the kingdom of God. And so anyway, yeah. We'll talk about that more in the future, but I've dealt with a lot of people over the years about inheritance. This isn't my first rodeo or anything. So, and I know how to ride bulls too, but by golly, I can ride a bull. Ride the bull. Mm-hmm. All right, I got to get something for the back of my chair. Hang on a second, you know. Just a second. Something here. Just a minute.
Okay. Yeah, if you knew, if people knew how many different things I've dealt with in that realm, it's a huge thing that goes on. And we need to talk about that sometime. Maybe that's why all this is coming up with Jeannie and others who are dealing with this stuff. You know, we have several people dealing with it, honestly. I don't talk about it much, but we had several people dealing with this stuff. So maybe we'll dive into it and keep you from losing your physical inheritance or it falling apart on you because, you know, the enemy tried to use it to get you to be have an issue. And this is what I've seen. And Jesus deals with it in the Bible. Just remind me, we're going to talk about it. Okay? And we'll deal with this. This is across the board. People in the world, body of Christ. And, man, it's a real trap sometimes that can trap people. Any of us. All right. So, $15. Say. All right. Wait a second. All right. Take a look at Fader Night, $13. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for my sister tonight, God. Thank you for her love. For you, Jesus, thank you for revealing to her the love of God in her pain, in her suffering. Show her the love of God in the midst of all of it, how Jesus suffered on the cross. And though I know she knows about that, but how Jesus suffered on the cross and how pain became gain for him. Pain became gain for him. So I thank you, Lord, for the realm of pain becoming gain for her, where we don't become, it's like I say, it's easy to become, you know, being bitter about something or being hurt by it is just regular stuff, and then you conquer it, right? But letting that root of bitterness spring up, that's when we become affected for it. That's why, you know, you hear God start warning people, you know, please be careful, don't let it go there, because it can go there fast. And so when we start having pain and we have started, you know, like you were in an accident that was totally not your fault. Somebody else just ran into you. And then here you are in all this pain. That thing can become, you know, a thought process that can try to mess with you. And I know about that. Like somebody stealing something from you, you know, literally. And you know they did it. You saw it. You have evidence of it. Even God told me to let them have it. I'm like, what? Yeah, I let him have it. I went, oh, dear Jesus. And then I almost became bitter over that, you know. What'd you tell me to let him have it for? It's crazy. So sometimes he's dealing with things in us, you know, dealing with things with me at least. So thank you, Lord, for Faye, God, that all the pain and suffering she's gone through, God, that you will make pain her gain. She will gain through her pain and gain wisdom, revelation, and freedom that she's never known before. And she'll look back at it and go, man, if it hadn't been for that accident, I'd have never be this joyful and happy in my life. I'd never be like this. And so you're breaking her into a deeper level of joy and happiness and freedom. And I thank you, Jesus, for that, that's the key to all this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Angela, South Carolina, 2397. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of freedom with you, that God is wanting to bring freedom to you in every area. And freedom comes through, you know, the truth. The truth shall set you free and set you free indeed. So, you know, the truth breaks up, you know, the things in us that try to cause us to have, you know, get caught up in the past, have unforgiveness, have any roots of things that need to be dealt with. Because roots can turn into, you know, strong powerhouses of, you know, so we have to deal with it quickly. And letting God show you how to, you know, when things hit you, and they hit all of us. The thing is, people think that being a Christian and walking in the Holy Spirit means you're never going to have any problems. Boy, that would, I don't know if that'd be nice or not, but Paul the Apostle was one of the greatest warriors ever and a righteous man, and God gave him trouble to keep him humble. You know, so being walking right with God,
may mean you're going to get some trouble, not keep you out of trouble, to see what you do with the trouble you get and watch that trouble guide you and lead you in places that you've never would have even gone before had it not been for that. There's a realm of inheritance tonight where God's going to, you know, sometimes in order to receive our inheritance, we have to die to things. Like, you know, a testator has to die, like your mom and dad have to die before you can receive their inheritance. That's what you got to be dead first. Like, what in the world is that? So they, you know, so when we come to death and give things over to God and let him deal with our weaknesses, which every human being has. If you don't think you have any weaknesses, if a person doesn't think they have any weaknesses, just hang around me long enough. I'll bring him out of me. No, not really. But hang around the Lord long enough because he's going to start, he wants your weaknesses to be revealed so he can be blessed and change them. That's the whole purpose of struggles and trials is in test, is to show you what you can't do so that you can learn how to do it and become honest about it and go, well, I've been deceiving myself for years that I could, you know, I'm okay, I'm fine. And then you kept going in circles because you realize until you conquer something, you're going to go in circles about it. You never really receive your inheritance and walk in it because you were not dying to self and being resurrected. Inheritance can, you know, God, the way God's inheritance comes is a completely different way, even though he's already died and risen again. Now we can receive our inheritance, but that inheritance comes through death to ourselves, like it came for him for death. Like when you lose a mother or a father, if you love them, you die, part of you dies with them, so to speak, right? Part of you dies with them. And then when you get the inheritance, you absorb, you know, I'd rather have my mom and my dad than this money. Although the money's nice, I'd rather have my, so you learn the value of something when you lose it. And it's, really amazing. Okay, I'm going deep tonight. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, going down to the root sections tonight. So get ready. I don't know. God's been dealing with me, man. But woo! Wow, I've been going through some stuff, y'all. And my finding my conversation prophetically is changing it some a little bit to go to the root of things at times more often to help people. And it's turned up stuff. Sometimes part of us doesn't want to change. Part of me doesn't want to change. Yeah. You have to die, and dying is scary. Losing yourself in Christ is getting lost. Nobody likes to get lost. Because then you don't know who you are. You don't know what's going on. And then you find yourself. All right, Sandra and Robert. Thank you, Lord, for the whole realm of finding yourself. Thank you for that $25. Thank you, Jesus, for Sandra and Robert. Thank you, Lord, for finding that they find themselves. God, in Jesus' name, let them find each other. Let them find you. If they find you, they find each other. They find themselves, and they find each other. So we find you, we find ourselves, and then we find each other. Amen? So if you don't know you, who you are, then how can you find who somebody else is? Right? It's knowing who you are and being who you are that allows you to accept somebody else the way they are. So thank you, Lord, for that whole realm of accepting, of understanding, of loving, of knowing that I plant the seed and water it. I don't change people. I don't change them. I may be the agent of the process of changing, but God is the one who gives the increase. So thank you, Jesus, for Sandra and Robert, that you're showing them how to plant and water with each other, with their lives, with their family, with business, whatever it is, plant and water, and then let God give the increase. So if you plant and water, You know, you want to, the whole purpose of planting a seed and watering it, it's a flower or whatever it is, or a tree, you're waiting for it to, you know, show its beauty if it's a flower or its fruit if it's a tree or whatever. And so, you know, planting and watering, you've got to make sure we plant and water. What do you do most of the time when a tree is already growing? You don't plant it anymore. You just water it. right? You spend more time watering stuff than you do planting. You plant them one time and you water them. It's just like a tree for the rest of its life. But watering is big. So more show them how to water each other more and more and more and keep their trees, you know, because sometimes the best thing to do is water each other. And I know they do that already, but God show them at different levels and show them how to water other people once they plant it. Once you plant a seed, you water. You don't water something. I don't go out and water the ground or something I haven't planted a seed in. There's nothing going to grow but weeds, right? That's what happens. You plant a seed, you water a seed. You know, we don't just water the ground, we water the seed. So thank you, Lord, for showing them how to water the seeds in their life. They spend more time watering them than they do plant again and again and again and again. We plant once and we water the rest of its life. Wow, that's a new revelation for me. I've been getting that for the last month, and I'm still absorbing that. Wow. Bless them, God, in Jesus' name, so they can water others. And then Glenn, $25. Thank you, Lord, for Glenn. Thank you, Lord, for sustaining him, God. Thank you for giving him that virtuous breakthrough in his sleep ability, sleep, and that thing in his brain. It's all in the brain, bro. I mean, it's not all in the head like it ain't there, but it's all in the brain. So, God, I ask you to show me or show him or show something, do something, and heal his brain, God, for his brain, which regulates all that to one degree or the other, can begin to regulate his nervous system and his ability to, you know, when he's sleeping, to breathe and to relax and breathe and rest. The ability to rest. I thank you, Lord, for giving Glenn the ability to rest. You know, that's why, you know, taking the Sabbath is so important, because that's the day that we rest. And then getting our sleep, like Mike Huckabee's been talking about a lot on, he's really pumping those non-addictive sleep things, because he was having a problem. I remember seeing him a couple, 2-3 years ago, and Julie and I were watching him. I said, did you see that, Huckabee? She said, I don't know. I said, let's back it up. Look at that. Look at him. He's kind of shaking a little bit. You know what it was? Because he wasn't sleeping. Yeah. Mike Huckabee. I saw it. I don't have any proof that that's what it was, but, you know, I knew something was wrong with him. I'm going, dear God, he's not going to live long enough to do anything. He didn't, whatever. I didn't know what the problem was. Whatever the problem is, let's get it fixed. And then he started talking about, you know, he wasn't sleeping. So thank you, Jesus, for my brother, God. You know, I don't know. Mike Huckabee keeps telling me, maybe you should say you've tried everything. I don't know. But, yeah, he's talked about all the different things that hit you when you don't sleep. I didn't know all that stuff. That was new to me, bro. So, God, I thank you for doing that thing in his brain, in Jesus' name, where his brain can click on and click off when it needs to and enter into rest and blessing. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Regina, $40. Thank you, Lord, for Regina. Thank you, Jesus, for Regina. Thank you, Lord, for those things in her life, God, that you are using to train to reign. God is training you to reign. Yeah, he's training you to reign. He's training you how to be a good servant. The best servants become the greatest. We've talked about this many times, but like Jeff Bezos, who learned to serve through his, you know, the whole blessing that he does. I mean, I've heard people say, I wouldn't do anything but buy off eBay now because he's got it. He's done it so well. He set up a service that people are going like, oh my God, I got to have that. I got to have that. And they use it and it's simple and easy. So thank you, Lord, for Regina, that you're training her to reign, training her to serve. We learn how to serve good. Those who become the best servants sometimes get broken the most, because in serving you get broken, and in brokenness we learn how to serve greater, and when we become greater servants, we become great because of it. So thank you, Lord, for making Regina great in the servant realm. Amen. Not a slave, but a servant, right? A servant and slave are completely different. We can all be slaves of things, but to be a servant of God is a willing thing that we do willingly. And thank you, Lord, for training her brain. Wow, that's awesome. All right, Angela Joy, $50. Thank you, Angela, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for Angela, God. Thank you, Lord, for her servanthood. Thank you for teaching her how to
speak to the root of things. You know, I know we already know about speaking to the root and that kind of thing, but I think God's going to give you wisdom on how to speak to the root of things. Go to the root. Go to the root. Go to the root. Go to the root. Because a lot of times we spend time plucking fruit. We don't realize we're doing that. We're plucking fruit. Instead, the problem is bad fruit is there because it's got a bad root somewhere. So dealing with the root, going to the root of the thing, like Jesus did. He said, man, the disciples said, man, we came back and the tree's already withered up. Like when he cursed the root of it, it withered up fast. So that's the thing is learning how to curse the root of a thing. And so in the way that Jesus did it, so it happened fast. We're talking about that tonight, about the cup of iniquity being full. And if we let the cup of iniquity be full with people instead of dragging it out forever by trying to hang on to them and save them every 5 days, and let them go into God's hands and let God show them, oh, you really want this lifestyle? Okay, I'll give it to you full of the way. Here, you want it full blown? Full blown, you got it. They're going like, help me, Jesus. Oh, God, I don't want this. That's what happened to me. And so, thank you, Lord, that you went right to the root of my problem. You thought you just showed me that what I thought I wanted wasn't it. And you went right to the root of my issue. And pretty soon I'm going like, dear God. You know, sometimes we think we want something, Angela. You know this. Our children think they want something. The older you get, the more you see the things we think we want aren't really it. So thank you, Lord, for giving her root purposes with to fulfill, you know, seek you first the kingdom of God, the first things first, and all those other things will be added to her, God, in Jesus' name, where she can open up her heart to going to the root of the thing and speaking to the root of it. And either if the root is good and it just needs to be, you know, put some fertilizer on it, like the one guy did with the tree, and it bore fruit. Because the master said, tear it down. He said, oh, let's give it one more year. I'll dig around it. So, sure, the things that she needs to dig around and the things that she just needs to root up, like Jesus did. So the difference, God. Amen. And sometimes we're trying to dig around things that never are going to, because it's a root system thing. It's in the DNA. It's in the roots. But if it's temporary there and hadn't become a DNA issue, then it's a whole different thing. Hadn't gotten into the roots yet, like the root of bitterness. Let it not, you know, be careful that you don't let it spring up, because that's when it starts really bearing a lot of bad fruit. And that's what God always warned us about. Be careful. Stay away from that. So that's what we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Nick and Charles, $50. And then Destiny also gave $44 for her tithe. And Nikki wants to pray for her inheritance. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the inheritance thing, the whole inheritance thing, that she will read scripture about that, as Jesus dealt with that. It's not that our inheritance is important and isn't of God, or, you know, necessarily, but it becomes a trap many times where we get tested and tried. You know, like when my mom and dad both died and the inheritance thing started whirling around, my sister was the one who took care of all of it. And I don't know, her and I didn't get along the last few years. You know, to a certain degree. And so so she just took full advantage of it and did whatever she wanted to do and tried to provoke me to come after her. And you know what? In my case, the Lord just said, leave it alone. Don't touch it. He does that with me a lot. Just let me handle it. Just give it to me. Sometimes, you know, you can deal with inheritance stuff and go after people from them. It is God. Sometimes when you're doing it, it's not God. It's a trap to get you bitter. Right, it's a trap to get us, you know, it's a temptation, it's a trial, a test. So thank you, Lord, as she passes those tests, that she will gain her inheritance, God. She passes her test, she will gain her inheritance. Didn't pass the test, she won't. Basically that simple. Now thank you, Lord, that she will, that she's watching out. She's not going to get drawn into things in her mind to go places in her thinking where the enemy coerces her and draws her away from you, Lord, in the purity of her mind, her heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And with Destiny, got her $44 tithe. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for her tithe and her life, God. And thank you, Jesus, for opening her up to the spirit of freedom, and the spirit of liberty, God, that you show her what true liberty really is like, what true freedom is really like, that it comes through the cross and the blood of Jesus, and that it's in our DNA. And when God blesses our DNA and touches our DNA, our genetics, then, you know, we go to the root of things and think of the Lord for destiny. You show her the root of things. Sometimes roots try to come back. If we don't pull them all up, we can pull them all up in one little vein, and that one little vein can create a whole other tree, just like the other one. Right? So it's like we deal with the root all the way. The roots. So thank you, Lord, for that in her inheritance, God, with you, that she, as she dies to herself, and that her, you show her every root that you want to deal with, how you want to deal with it, in Jesus' name, bring it to the cross where Christ crucified it, and that's why it gets crucified, because we crucify with Christ. When we crucify, when we're crucified with him, destiny, it's a whole different thing. We do it ourselves. Crucified with Christ is definitely going to die, the thing, the whatever it is, and a new thing's going to come forth. Definitely going to happen. No question, no doubt, no maybe, no if. It is going to be. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So thank you, Lord, for that, and give her encouragement to know that as she obeys you, you're going to, it is honest and truthful about her stuff and everything she does, you're going to find that, that, you know, truth sets us free. And truth is what keeps us free. Amen. Lord, help us do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Margie, $100. Thank you, Margie. Thank you, Lord, for Margie. Thank you, Lord, for the fruit of her mind, the fruit of her heart. God, that she starts seeing that in her heart is growing a new fruit, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of right standing with God, the fruit of, you know, how to deal with things God's way, whether it be relationships or whatever, learning God's way of dealing with things. That's the right way or the righteous way. And we deal with things with the righteous way, it gets added to us. Seeking first kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things get added to you. Why? Because we're doing it the right way or God's way. And when we do that, wow, man, really, really cool. Really, really, really cool. Really, really cool. Yeah, so there you go. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And Marja, bless her, God. Give her increase in her brain, in her understanding, God, where she can know how to handle things, how to manage things at a Holy Spirit level, a righteous level, the right way, God's way. When we do things God's way, as you know, Mark, no matter what shaking comes, we're on the rock. Why? Because we did it God's way. I did it God's way. Right? We do things God's way. Why is that so important? Because it, when things shake and shake around the boat, and they are, that guess what? Hearts don't get shaken. We're on the rock. Yeah, we don't fall apart. We may get, you know, a little nervous, but we don't get moved. Yeah, from the purpose of God. All right, Cheryl, $150. Thank you, Cheryl, for that. Thank you, Lord, for giving her that wisdom and advice to on how to deal with the matters at hand, God. The simple wisdom, simple ways to unlock wisdom. Ask wisdom and you shall receive it. As she asked for wisdom, God, you give her that simple wisdom, that the understanding of how to say things, how to do things, and where we don't make things worse, but we make things better. You know, a kind word, say a kind word or a nice word or something, turns away wrath. You know, sometimes, you know, I've turned that more wrath against me by my mouth, you know, sometimes than, you know, so when God's having you do something, he may be stirring up wrath for a reason. Because he may be having somebody's cup of iniquity get full fast so we can deal with him. So sometimes God uses us to, you know, get them pointing the finger at their weakness so that their weakness will just get out of control and they'll realize, oh my God, I didn't know I had that in me, you know, where'd that come from? God can use us to do that. He used Jesus to do it. He used the prophets to do it. He used, you know, Jeremiah to do it. And, you know, at times he's going to use you to do that. Right? So so then we got to bear the responsibility of You know, can we handle it? If God uses us to deal with things, can we handle the persecution? That's the thing, because if we can't handle the persecution, then we can't move on. We can't increase, because with hundredfold blessing comes persecution. So until we deal with persecution correctly, right? And I've really had a problem with that. I mean, for years, you know, I was blaming everybody, blaming everything. And I did it. I did it. I did it. And I find myself going there pretty quick. I think it's a human nature thing. And the Lord says, what are you doing? You know, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. So just speak what I say, do what I do. And that's it. And that's why Jesus stayed out of trouble, right? When he talked against the Pharisees and religious leaders and all that, when they had a lot of power and kings and whatever, it's because he did it because the Father told him to do it. And when you speak what he speaks, say what he says, and it makes people mad, you're protected. But if we don't, we do it in our flesh, then we're not protected. And then persecution comes when God tells us. Other things come when we do it, right? And I've done, that's one of the things we all learn, especially trying to be servants of God, is we can't just give our opinions and what we think about things without his permission. Because if it stirs up something, a hornet's nest, and you're not protected, woo! How many times have I got stung? Oh, plenty. Yeah, so the more I learn to, when I speak tough and harsh and come against, you know, sexual sins like I've done with incest thing, it goes across the board more than we realize. And so yeah, that was a big thing to deal with, because a lot of people just don't like to hear that stuff. But when God chooses you to deal with things, you just deal with it. And he'll bring circumstances in your life to make you aware that it's real. And then he'll say, I want you to tear that system down. Tear it down, Chandler, by just doing what I say. And if you start saying things I'm not saying, they may come and get you and whoop up on you a little bit. But don't worry, I'm not going to let you go down all the way. But thanks a lot, God. Let me drown. Like PETA. All right. I think I have to pray for Nikki and Charles. Thank you all for Nikki and Charles tonight, God. No, they're inheritance. I did pray for them. Okay, I got it. Thank you. All right, Chris, $200. Thank you all for Chris. I read your text today about the stuff you're talking about. Sounds pretty cool to me. Okay. Wow. Okay, I just got All right. So, Cheryl, you know, it's all about God calls us to speak and say, and like Jesus said, he said, I want to do what I see my Father did, right? When you start doing some of the stuff I've done, man, when you don't do it because the Father did it, it cost me a lot of, he's letting me learn, like Peter on the sea, you know, he began to, he learned from it. And, eventually he did great things. The thing is, are we learning from it? That's my big thing. Am I learning? Oh, yeah. Are you learning? Ever learning but never comes to knowledge of the truth. Wow. That's when I start learning stuff. Oh, my God. Okay, Lord. So show me how to do that. And I'm still learning. Yep. He's called other people too to deal with really heavy duty things. And when you deal with heavy duty, principality and power stuff, and you're doing it outside of him, they'll whack you, man. They won't mess with you. Okay. Yep. Okay. All right, awesome. And blessings, when we do what God says, the blessing and protection of the Lord is absolutely amazing, because it protects us and shows us, hey, you do what I'm saying, you do what I'm doing, I will protect you from the biggest, baddest, no good, sorry, wealthy, you know, whatever, powerhouses. I will protect, and to watch God do that for you is just makes you feel like, man, this is awesome. Yeah, this is awesome. But the training process is extremely, yeah, it's just really stay with it. All right, Chris, $200, I think I saw this thing. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Jesus, for the judge in him. The Bible says we're supposed to judge righteously. And so you teaching him how to judge righteously, God, and righteous judgment is so important, because we do judge. People, oh, you don't judge people. Yeah, you do. If you judge them righteously, then you understand that what they got, what they're doing, whatever's happening with them, whatever they're doing, could be genetic, could be something that it was put on them. You know, they could have been, wounded as a child, and it sent their life in the wrong direction, you know, a fast, hard way. And so they had to, we start all these things that we look at to judge a situation. You know, are they just evil through and through? What are they? Because, and then judging it. Jesus said, when I judge, it's my Father that shows me how to judge. You know, Sam Cheryl, it's like this whole thing of doing those things is like when you come to the judge realm, the Bible said we're going to judge angels, dude. We're going to judge angels. So the training on judging angels and judging is we have to understand, some things. And being a judge, I had a dream, I had a vision. I was praying for somebody one time. And I did not know them personally, but they were pretty well a minister. And so I saw them on the judge's robe, and the Lord said, they're one of my judges. I went, interesting. So it was interesting. So there are judges, but being a judge takes a lot of trials. Listen to that, trials, you know, like judges go to trial. Trials. Dude, it just hit me. A lot of trials. Oh, man, some of the information we get is what. So we don't have to judge. Sometimes we misjudge. Sometimes we send people to prison, you know, for years. Something they didn't do because we didn't judge correctly. You know what I'm saying? So it's and then we judge correctly. Sometimes we judge correctly. We set people free, and they end up back and, you know, killing people again or hurting people again, whatever the thing is. So learning how to judge is a really big thing. Being a righteous judge is really powerful. And God's drawing you into that place. How to judge things. Starts with judging little things. We make our mistakes. We learn. We grow. Bigger things. Bigger. Yeah. Again, the purpose of judging is you deal with things in the way that God would deal with them, right? Yeah, that's a big thing. It's like you said, I only do what I see my Father do. Man, when you mess up on those things, can you imagine being a judge and sending an innocent man to prison for most of his life? Imagine that. Shows that when your court where they would do DNA and found that the DNA sample was, you know, it set him free, and you were the ones who put him in prison. I mean, you know, judges have a big responsibility. So it's something that's powerful, wonderful. You deal with things, help deal with society, help deal with the kingdom of God. Help put people in the place that they belong, so they can get help, all kinds of things. Yeah. All right, Chris. All right. Terrence and Tanisha, 260. Thank you, Terrence, for that. Jesus name, thank you, Lord, for Terrence. God, thank you, Lord, for letting them be witnesses of your glory, witnesses. You know, Moses said, I want to be a witness of your glory. I want to see your glory. He just wanted to be a witness to it. He wanted to be able to say, you know, I did this job for you. Now, you know, he'd already delivered him out of Egypt, you know, to God's hand. And he said, yeah, you know, like, not like you owe me, but like, you know, hey, show me your glory, God. So show them, let them witness your glory, God. Let them witness your glory in all kinds of ways. Let them witness your glory in the judge realm, where, you know, like I tell Chris about the judge realm and how to judge things, how to judge people, you know. Well, we don't judge people. Yeah, we do. We judge fruit. We do all kinds of things. So anyway, so let them be witnesses of your glory, God, so they can bear witness to, and like in, even in a courtroom or something, you know, hey, we got proof. Do you have evidence? Show me your evidence. You know, evidence. God wants to bring evidence into your life. So to do what? To prove, like in a court of law, and or, you know, not necessarily, not in court necessarily, but in life, proving that, you know, we got evidence here, solid evidence that could pass in a court of law that God does do miracles. Yeah. Evidence. Faith is a substance of things, not, faith is a thing, not just seem to, it is my brain is like going like that. Faith is a hope, you know, faith is a substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. It is the evidence. I don't think I quoted it right, but the evidence of things not seen. So evidence, you know, becomes, when we have the evidence, it's like we go to the devil, we said, I know I can't see it yet, but I got the evidence right here. Substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen. So even though it's not seen yet, it, you still go, here's the evidence. Like in a courtroom, you show up with, you know, evidence, and the guy goes, well, oh, wow, it's not guilty. There's the evidence. Or, you know, the evidence in that the guy is guilty. So whatever the thing is, the evidence. So faith is substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen. There you go. So in a non-seen realm, we have to come in a legal sense in revelation before God with the evidence before the thing shows up. We have to have the evidence. Ooh, there you go. Evidence. All you need is the evidence. Listen to that. I mean, I'm just getting that. This is really cool. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the evidence is what causes the thing to happen. So we've got to have the evidence. Without evidence, wow, I like that. And I could really chew on that for a while. That is awesome. Let's go to that scripture. I'm getting tired. But, man, when I got to get some revelation, I can't back down on that. Yeah. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for. It is the evidence. So when I started going through this work for y'all tonight, the thing that I started off with the court thing, like a judge, like we call it Chris, and then it went into the court. Like, so when you go to court, you know, with evidence. Yeah, evidence proves it. The evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report that they had evidence. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by God, the word of the Lord, by the word of God, so that the things which are not seen were made of things which are visible, which were not made of things which are visible. So that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. So the whole key I got about that was like going to court, as the thought process I was going through, and having evidence. You have slam dunk evidence that can be proven from both sides without a shadow of a doubt. Man, you got that thing. You know what I'm saying? You got that thing. The thing hoped for. Faith is a substance of the thing hoped for. Wow, that's powerful. That's why I love to prophesy. I love to revelate on people's work hurts, man. I learn from myself. It's amazing. Okay, let's go here and okay. Have to hang on a second because All right. And then we have Shannon. Thank you, Shannon. $20. Thank you all for sharing. Her request is to be filled with God's love and strength and joy. We forgot to bring my wife now. Yep. Well, I thank you, Lord, for, you know, building with that joy and that love, God. I thank you, Jesus, for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that is able to reveal things to us, what our greatest needs are. What our greatest needs are. And our greatest needs can be amazing. You know, so thank you, Lord, for the greatest need, the greatest need. You know, what are the greatest, you know, like, what's the greatest of these is what? Say something over the greatest of these is love. Oh. So give him the greatest of these, Lord. Let him walk in the greatest gifts. The Word of God talks about walking in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. As you say, and we seek the greatest, greater gifts. In Jesus' name. The greatest gift, Lord. Open that up for him, God, in Jesus' name. And give him courage and strength, God, to okay. Wow. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Carmen, 350. Thank you, Lord, for that. And in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your glory, God, that your glory rests upon her, Father. That she understands what the glory is about, that the glory is to bring God glory. The glory of God is everything that we want to activate the glory, get the glory going. Then our heart, you know, is all about giving God the glory. And I know you've given our heart for that, God, to give you the glory, to give you the praise, to give you the honor, to honor you as God. And to, like Moses, when he, I shared this earlier with somebody, that when he said, show me your glory, you know, he had been giving God the glory. He had been, you know, said, God, I've been, you know, watching your glory in all these other ways, but I want to see, I'm hungry for more of your glory. Show me your glory. And I want to see you. He was, after all the stuff he saw, he's more interested, not in money, not in fame, not in all that. He had all that. He's interested in one thing, Carmen, and that was the glory of God. He wanted to see God. God says, okay, Moses, I'm going to show you, but I can't show you my front side. I can show you my backside. And he showed him his backside. Whatever that was, I mean, I don't have a clue what that was. Personally, I don't have a clue. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for those divine appointments, God, that you open up, that her heart seeks for your glory. And we go through things, and then we, you know, like God does want to exalt us. He said, if you will humble yourself, and in due season, I will exalt you in due season, right? So when God exalts us, how does he do that? Because he does it because he can trust us with his glory. When God can trust us with his glory, do things through us, and then, you know, yeah, we're part of it. Yeah, we get excited. I get excited every time God uses me. I mean, I'm going like, thank God, that was amazing. Lord, you are amazing that you show that to me. And I'm telling people, and it happens. And, oh, wow. You know, so after a while, you know, I've gone through trials and struggles, and but the more you give him the glory, the more he reveals his glory. Like Moses, that's why God showed him his backside. I mean, God, kind of, they were friends. It's amazing. He says, God, show me your glory. And God goes, he's my friend. Why can I not do that for him? Because he's been, you know, giving me the glory. And even though God got ticked off at him, he threatened to kill him once when he wasn't circumcised. You remember his wife says, you're a man of blood or something like that. Circumcised his son. You're a man of blood. God's going to kill Moses for that. For some reason, I don't understand that one. You know, and then and later on, after he comes out of Egypt and does all that stuff, show me your glory. And God says, okay. He just does. When you have a heart for the glory of God, you're not afraid to ask God for more glory. You want to see his glory. I mean, you want to see how all this stuff works. I want to see it all, God. Show it to me. Yeah, that's the heart of God. That's what he wants. Really awesome. Okay, I think that's it for tonight, as far as I know. Let me double check here and see if there's any more. Oh, Nicole gave Jeff. Oh, Jeff gave two. I didn't see that. Hot. Jeff and then Nicole gave again. Okay. Jeff gave 49. Okay, thank you. All right, awesome. Getting in line for 49. Give us the line for 49. Okay. All right, offering 10:15. The place to get an offering. All right. Offerings are cool. Yeah, thank you, Nicole. All right, we'll pray over that prayer over Jeff's offering. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff and Luke. Let him speak. Thank you, Jesus, for giving that the faith, the true faith of God. What I see God doing with you guys is bringing you into the place of, you know, purifying your faith to where you so the more of my faith becomes pure, the purer my faith becomes. In other words, the clearer I hear from God, the faithless I hear from hearing God's word, or knowing something from God, the more pure my heart became, the more pure, actually, how can I say this? The more pure, it happened all in a pure way. In other words, like, sometimes we get information from God and we try to make it happen ourselves and we try to, you know, do it. And, you know, we just try to work it and God's not in it, you know, as far as the way we're trying to bring his word to pass. And so the more my faith grew, the more I allowed to just let him tell me how he wanted to do it. But I had to do things, but I let him guide me instead of thinking I knew how to do it, which I did that for a long time. I still do it sometimes, but I'm learning more and more how to wait on his timing, like the transfer of wealth thing. I mean, that was like, you know, I'm going like, God, is ever going to happen? Like 3 years ago or so, he said nothing yet. Wow, what is this? It's making me nervous. And so really when it happened, I saw that God was right in the middle of all of it. He kept telling me, you're right on time, you're fine. You're right on time, you're fine. I'm going like, okay, it doesn't look like it to me. It's like it's never going to get done. I don't even know what to do. And, you know, and I just learned how to, not knowing what to do, not trying to make something happen, you know, to make it happen. And like Abraham and Sarah did, they made it happen and then what it ended up being a mess. So that my heart began to be purified. God purified my faith and my heart and began to show me how to let him do it, you know, with my agreement with him, get up and do what I tell you, you know, when I tell you, and learn to move with me. Because the whole thing about getting things done with God is just learning how to move with him. He loves us to move in sync with him. If I can find somebody to move in sync with me, I'll do anything to them. Anything. That's when everything becomes possible, when we get in sync with what God wants. You know, it does, and that takes death, dying to our own, you know, our own ambitions and all that stuff. We all have ambitions. I wanted to be an athlete. I wanted to be a professional, you know, football player. I should have went for baseball, but I didn't. But anyway, see there, I went right there. See that? And my ambition. So God checks our ambitions. And not that he didn't want us to take us places big, but he has to do it inspired by him. So we move from being ambitious and knowing that God is going to do something great for me to dying from that. And pretty soon, God's ambition, if you will, God's, you know, passion starts to rise up in us. And it becomes purified, and pretty soon you find yourself in right in sync with God, and you don't even know it. It's just like boom, boom, boom. Like, how did that happen? Well, you gave your heart to me. You let me purify you. You yielded to me in all your struggles, in all your battles. You admitted you're wrong when you were wrong. You stuck with me right when you got it right. Blah blah blah. And I did a work in you, and now, you know, you've gotten in sync with me, and you didn't even know it. So now it's like, it happens, and I don't even know it, which means I can't take credit for it. Right? Which means it's not my ambition going after it. So thank for Jeff and you. God, show them how to We all have ambitions. We're born with them. And yet you give them to us, the strong ones, so that we can give them over to you and die from ours. So those same ambitions will become like a Joseph. His ambition to be, you know, the leader and the brothers to honor him was huge. It was very ambitious. This didn't make him wrong or bad, but God had to burn that out of him, not to do away with the big dream, ambitious dream God gave him, but to bring it to pass, God's way. And you know, sometimes this stuff's hard to deal with. Yeah, I mean, it takes God. It's just a God thing all the way. Yep. All right, so there you go. Awesome, awesome. All right, then we have Nicole, $10.15. Thank you, Nicole, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that offering. We thank you, Lord, that as she offers up her body to you, as she offers up her brain to you, as she offers up her life to you, Jesus, that you change that DNA thing. You've chosen her to break the DNA stuff, to bring forth new DNA, new life. New, where the old things will not be brought back to life, but the old things will die, they will pass away, and that a new life, a new DNA, a new sonship, a new daughtership, whatever you want to call it, will come forth in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Mighty deliverance in Jesus' name. That's what the God and God does, our DNA. We got a DNA thing going on. That's mighty deliverance. That is like Jesus cursing the root of the fig tree. I mean, literally, it's a beautiful, awesome, and amazing thing. He can curse my fig tree anytime he wants. Show me how to agree with it, because that will bring forth quick results. Right. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, and it happens quicker. All right, y'all, I think that's it, really. Great, man. I don't know if we don't take calls on Thursdays. You have a prayer request? I can just pray over you, I guess. I'm not sure what you're asking me exactly, but I would love to pray for you. Sonia's home with me and has some urgent prayer. Okay, so let's just pray for Sonia. I guess you're not wanting to send a prayer request. Oh, okay. Oh, thank you. Okay, yes, yeah, Sonia had a stroke. Oh, bless her heart. Wow. Okay, thank you, Dee. For that, I want to pray for you guys. I just thought you wanted to send in a prayer request. So thank you for that, letting me know about that. Thank you, Jesus, for Sonia. God, we thank you, Lord, for re-energizing her, God, for restoring her, for rebuilding her, God, and all the pressure, all the things that she's gone through, the hard times, the rough times, the sad times, the bad times. And God, you said she's in rehab. Okay, so she's in rehab. Thank you, Lord, for rebuilding her life, God. And use her in this time when maybe she can't communicate or whatever like she wants to. Use it to where she can communicate with you like never before, God. Where you bless her, where you help her solve issues, problems, things that rise up. And, try to cause her harm, God, that she receives your love and your compassion and is able to forgive and love those who fight against her. And in Jesus' name, Lord, she can be free to choose to serve you in new ways, God, in a new way. In Jesus' name, serve to choose you, serving and choosing you. Hold it in the whole servant realm in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. And bless my sister got, and Veta. Thank you, Jesus, for opening up her heart and showing her how to pray, how to believe, how to tap into your will, Father, in the perfection of your will, God, in Jesus' name, where she can, you know, walk in the perfect will of God. Sometimes the perfect will of God, you think, wouldn't have any suffering to it. Sometimes you suffer more than the perfect will of God than you did either way, but you also get more glory out of it because the glory of God revealed in the suffering. So thank you, Lord, for that and all the suffering, God, that we bless, and that the friendship with you, Jesus, will be blessed forever. And open up the heart, God, to receive the fullness of your glory, the fullness of your love, and the fullness of your ministry, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, I'm going to call it a night, y'all. Thank you for going. Bye-bye. Thank you, Dee. All right. Call us sometime. Let us know how you're doing. All right, y'all, I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight. I don't see anything else. I'm going to put the check. I take requests on Monday and Tuesday, and then we pray over everybody. We prophesy and pray over everybody on Wednesday. We have 20 to 40 callers that call in on Wednesday, sometimes more, sometimes less on Wednesdays. And when all we do is prophesy, or after I teach a little bit, then we prophesy to, you know, one after the other, and we don't talk at all. We prophesy and pray over each person. And then, but Mondays and Tuesdays, we'll take phone calls and talk to people. And then Wednesdays, we don't really talk, but we take calls and we say, what's your first name? What state you put? And then I just pray and prophesy over you without knowing what's happening, basically. All right? All right. Thank you guys very much for praying for her. God bless you. Thanks for letting me know about that. We love Sandra. Sonia. We love Sonia. Blessed woman of God. All right. Good night. All right, thank you. All right, good night, everybody. We're going to call it a night. All right, love you guys. See you later.